United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club. What am I supposed to do? Well, the government seems to be cheating, selling us to the enemy. And those who're supposed to be preaching are no one.
I can't trust in a political. possibly sit upon my knee. No. I get dizzy, I get numble, when I'm dancing with my jum, jum, jumbo.
Turn it off. Turn it off.
Nothing wrong with that now. There is
one young lady that is on this YouTube video. She's way heavy, and she can swing that pole like never before. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I don't want him. You can have him. He's too much for me. But since
she's too fat for
no,
me.
He's too much for me. It's open like Fridays. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm in studio with AJ and Jeff, and we want you to call in. Again, the number is 347-945-5229. And I don't want him. You can have him. He's just too much for me. Now, you can. She's Too Fat for Me is a song. But since they started talking about fat, did you guys hear in New York City, they want to start, New York or across the state, they want to give the states the right to ban, like, bake sale.
Bake sale.
Bake sale.
Good.
No.
Didn't it start in New York? They wanted to ban the big drinks. Now it's bake sales?
Bake sale.
What's up with that?
Because it actually, it causes Connecticut moves closer to chocolate milk ban in school.
Chocolate milk ban.
I don't even drink chocolate milk.
A cupcake grandstanding. The problem is they're having too many bake sales, and young people are eating stuff that they shouldn't be eating at the bake sales, and it's causing them to be obese.
What isn't causing people to be obese these days, huh?
Well, that's not the point.
Well, that's just dumb. Because bake sales are meant for fundraising and not necessarily meant for kids to run, but it's definitely a good fundraiser.
They're unhealthy, man. What's wrong with you?
Jeff, turn your mic down.
Okay.
Fort Mills, they're saying that they're going to start banning bake sales for special events and in the classroom. Bake sales are under attack, coming to a school near you. Just thought I'd throw that out there. I'm serious. What? Don't you have bake sales at your school?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to cut that out. We're going to yellow tape your school.
You're going to put yellow tape all over my little bake sale table?
Yes.
That's it.
Yes. Caution. No bake sales. Absolutely.
Everything starts in New York, I swear. Everything that needs to be banned, it starts in New York. Because it was the big drink ban last year. Now it's the bake sales this year.
Well, this morning I was hearing how young people are not getting their driver's license because they want to text.
Nah, I don't know about that. What young person doesn't want to get their driver's license?
People in New York that don't have cars.
My uncle's lived in New York City for 30 years. He has a vehicle. He rarely ever uses it.
That's something different. But those people don't want to have cars, and so somebody came up with this bright idea that young people are not getting their license.
Now, is this in New York, or
no,
are we talking about all over?
I don't know. I was just watching the news while I was getting dressed, and this is the dumb stuff they were talking about across the country.
Well, I was watching.
So I just thought I'd bring it in here, make us just as dumb as they are before we start talking about things that mean anything.
Well, on the Today Show, they said this morning that that fighting in schools is down, the rate of people fighting in school. That's because I told my mom when we were watching that, I said, the reason why they're not using their fists is because they're starting to bring guns now. They don't need to use their fists anymore. That's why fighting in
school
is down.
That's not what fighting in school is down. Fighting in school is down because they're telling people just to let people walk all over them and not stand up for themselves.
That's right.
And then they emotionally disturb and they're all on Ritalin now because they're crazy.
Well,
I told you
what
I
really
told
feel.
My daughter.
Yeah, how do you really feel?
Yes, that's how I really feel. That's really what's going on.
I just thought they were putting.
They want kids to become wussy. Ask sticks. Where sticks at? They want them to become wussy. Crawl into a ball. That's why we have so many young people now who are very men. Young boys are effeminate.
Yeah.
They're not even gay and they're effeminate. Hello. That's the problem.
Nothing
some people need to
feminine.
Be gay.
Nothing wrong with being a little feminine, but you still need to be manly, of course.
We don't
because men need to have a feminine side. Women
no, no,
like
no,
that.
No, 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 no. It's okay to have a soft side. Yeah. But no man needs to be feminine.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Now, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
What?
Did you see the dating game called It Takes a Church?
No.
Oh,
no idea.
God.
I'm looking at this cocktail band.
It takes a church to do what?
They go into churches, and they're matchmaking for, say, somebody in the congregation that they think should be married, this, that, and the other, and stuff like that. And so they try to hook them up with four or five guys from, you know, the congregation or right around the congregation. And it is hilarious, right?
What channel was that on?
I don't know what it was on.
I'm not watching that.
Well, I was made to watch it.
And the Preacher's Exes either.
Well, no, I ain't going to watch that. But my daughter made me watch this one, and she's cracking up. Cheryl's cracking up. I'm cracking up. This action was so funny.
We got some of the dumbest stuff going on now that you can't imagine. What are people thinking about?
I don't know.
Hello? Hello? Wake up. Hey, good morning, Eric. How are you?
Good, Tracy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, I got your picture. As soon as the website goes up, you'll be in the mix.
Okay. So we going back to Iraq or what?
Oh, hold on. Wait a minute. We're just trying to have a little fun before we get to the real serious stuff.
Wait a second.
There you go. We're trying to do the dumb stuff first because, you know, everybody else is doing dumb stuff, so we might as well do the dumb stuff too before we get to Iraq, Cantor. Where else are we going? Iraq, Cantor, Benghazi, Clinton. Oh, did you guys know that Secretary of State Clinton, when she was the First Lady, and Bill Clinton, when they left the White House, they was dead broke?
No.
Yeah, I did.
They was dead broke.
How was they dead broke?
They were dead broke. I don't know.
They couldn't buy that upstate house.
That's why they went to Harlem.
Yeah, they went to Harlem because they couldn't afford that upstate, but they got both of them.
No. But they was dead. But how can you backpedal out of a dead broke statement?
Speaking of past presidents, you hear about Papa Bush? You see what he did for his 90th birthday?
Papa Bush, crazy.
You see what he did?
He jumped out of a plane.
He jumped out of an airplane on his 90th birthday.
And he went to play tennis with Condoleezza Rice.
And it didn't matter.
90th birthday. What are you going to do? You're going to jump out of an airplane.
I ain't mad at him.
I thought that was awesome.
I ain't mad at him. I just said, wow.
I just hope I live to be 90.
Me too.
You'll live to be 90, or are you going to jump out of a plane? That's the question.
I ain't going to jump out of a plane at 20.
Okay.
I'm too scared of heights. Hey. You can't even get me on a roof.
We had the chance. We didn't have this as basic training, but we had the chance to go off the parachute jump. And it was this tower. It wasn't that tall, but the parachutes are already open, and they let you jump. You know, they train you how to land off the tower. I said, I'm not doing that. I was 20 years old. I was 19, 20 years old.
My 10-year-old brother's told me that he wants his 18th birthday. He wants to skydive.
I'm jumping. I'm going. I'm just going jumping. I want to jump in tandem so I learn how to do it. And then I'm going free falling. I'm going jumping.
I can't.
You're probably one of them thrill seekers.
I am. I am going jumping.
I can't even go on roller coasters.
I can't either.
Oh my goodness.
Thank you.
Yeah, right? I can't even go on roller coasters. My sister's going to, she's going to Cedar Point today.
I want to go with her.
Well, she told me, she goes, hey, I'm going to Cedar Point with the youth group. Are you going to come? And I said, well, it's Friday. I'm going to Tracy's show, and I hate roller coasters, so there's no way you're getting me out there.
You know my biggest problem? I can't find people to go with me.
Because everyone's,
come get my daughter. She will go.
I want to go to Cedar Point, stay the weekend, and go and roll.
Get Ariel. She'll go with
you. Stay overnight. Enjoy it.
She can't.
Go roller. Go eat food that you're not supposed to eat.
She can't wait.
But I want to go on a nice day where it's pretty cool. I don't want to stay in the hot sun, even though I'm trying to get to chocolate this year. And I want to go roller coaster riding.
Water slides. I can do water slides.
I'll be 50 this year. You say,
yeah, my daughter went with the marching band. My daughter went with the marching band, and she didn't ride one roller coaster. I could have strangled her. I said, "Are you serious?"
Wait, man. You know, I was always my daughter's. I would go with the band and the choir when they went up to Cedar Point, and I would be, you know, the chaperone. Now, the last time I was there, That something dragster that goes up and over that hill and back down
yeah
got caught right up at the top.
No.
And two people from our group were there, and I was late to a gig because of this. I was really upset because I'm not getting on the thing. I don't do stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
no,
I fly.
Now, what I don't do is I don't do wooden roller coasters.
Oh, I like the wooden roller coaster.
No, those are the old ones.
They don't even, yeah, you don't like them because they go too slow.
No, I don't like them because I don't like the wood.
Wood is cool.
No.
Wood is cool.
No, let me tell you what happened. That outdoor park thing.
When it caught on fire.
No, it wasn't on fire. It's the way because wood is flexible. It's
the Wildcat.
There you go. Mm-mm. Wildcat, I got delivered from Wildcat, Jackrabbit. Wooden roller coasters, you can have them. Give me metal, give me steel, but I am not doing wood.
Yeah, nothing. I can't. I would steal nothing. I can't do it. Water slides, I will do all day though. You can get me on any water slide.
God. Listen. I love the water slides. Now, that's my thing. Now I get on the one up at Pioneer Park. Was it way up north, above near Chardon? And they got this one. It's just a straight slide.
Oh my goodness!
You actually bounce up off the slide when you come
you go up
that
in the air.
Bump.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And that scares me half to death, but I love it. I love every minute of it.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's my stuff right there.
Well, listen, I'm going to take a break, and when I come back, we're going to jump into, I don't know, where do we want to go to? What did you say, Eric?
I didn't say anything.
Okay. Do we want to jump into Iraq first? Do we want to go to cancer?
Iraq.
Where are we going to go first? Because there's a lot of places to go. Since we haven't talked about
where's the
any
plane
of this
stopping first.
Yeah, because, you know, we got John McCain this morning telling them all to quit and get fired and get out the White House and that they're all inept. It's going to be a good day today. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I got AJ in studio. Jeff is here. Eric's on the phone. Looks like Not So Blind Mike is there. When we come back, we're going to have a conversation about what you want to talk about and what they want to talk about. It's open mic today. So please give us a call. We'll see you on the other side of our break.
Concerned about your health? Confused about the amount of prescription drugs you are taking? Wondering which vitamins to take? Call Dr. Matt Mason, board-certified wellness physician as well as a chiropractor at Mason Wellness Center. Dr. Mason combines nutritional therapy, functional medicine, and chiropractic services to keep people healthy and get those of you that are ill feeling better faster. Mason Wellness Center is located on Layer Road in Warren, Ohio. To make an appointment or to receive additional info, call our office at 330-219.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized. And promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care.
Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our Crisis Stabilization Unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren. Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Senator McCain, it's Willie Geist. It's good to see you this morning. I think for a lot of Americans, Iraq had been put in the rearview mirror, only to come up this week and flare up in just an incredible way. So I wonder if you could articulate for people watching at home what you think is at stake for American interests here. What are we watching unfold this week?
Well, first of all, I would say that the over 4,000 mothers and fathers and husbands and wives who lost their loved ones in that conflict, they probably haven't put it completely in the rearview mirror.
I agree. I was talking
right
about
now,
the American
president
public
says,
at large.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the fact is that the president is now deciding, saying that there's no option. I'm sure you saw the reports where two Iranian Quds force, their elite battalions, have moved into Iraq. This has turned into one of the most serious threats to American security in recent history. There is now the Syria-Iraq area, the largest area ever of radical Islamic extremism. They are moving back and forth between Syria and Iraq. Our failure to help the resistance in Iraq, our failure to give these people the help they needed when we could have gotten rid of Bashar Assad, those chickens are coming home to roost as well.
Senator
so
McCain,
what does it mean to the American people? It means that we are now facing an existential threat to the security of the United States of America.
So that existential threat to the security of the United States of America, I see you being very critical of the president's latest moves, and we can argue that, and perhaps there are some arguments to be made there. But what about going in the first place? And what about churning the hate? What about taking the Sunnis out of leadership positions in 2003? What about the fact that there might have been some parts of this that are on the previous administration that could be relitigated as well?
Well, what about the fact that we had it won? What about the fact that people like me said we've got to fire Rumsfeld, we've got to get the surge going? Yes, we did, finally. And what about the fact that General Petraeus had the conflict won thanks to the surge, and if we left the residual force behind that we could have, that we would not be facing the crisis we are today? Those are facts. Those are fundamental facts. Now, I expected you and others to blame it on all these different events. The fact is we had the conflict won. And we had a stable government and a residual force such as we have left behind. We even have forces in Bosnia, Korea, Germany, Japan, where we could have, but the president wanted out, and now we are paying a very heavy price. And I predicted it in 2011. You can go back and look at the quotes.
Sam Stein, jump in.
Yeah, I just want to nail down what it means to have it won, I guess, because as we were discussing the war, when we were debating the war, I thought the idea was that we would put up an Iraqi government that could be self-sufficient with an Iraqi military that could carry out operations. We spent $25 billion propping up that military, and it folds even despite having much greater numbers than ISIS. So I'm curious, what is the definition of victory? What is the definition of winning? Does it mean having a residual force basically without end date? I'm just a little bit confused. I want to know what victory is to you, Senator McCain.
I think you are confused because you didn't know what happened with the surge, where we basically had the country pacified. We had a stable government in Baghdad, and we had the conflict basically for all intents and purposes won. We've still got troops in Bosnia. A residual force would have stabilized the country. Military experts will tell you that. So I'm sorry about your confusion, but the facts on the ground were that Al-Qaeda had been defeated almost completely, and with a residual American force, and at that time, a strong Iraq. Now Maliki was very weak, and Maliki got worse after we left. And again, I knew this was going to happen because we didn't leave that force behind. And so I'm sorry about your confusion, but anybody who was there will tell you
we had
the conflict won.
I guess
Well, we're back, and you listen to Tracy and Friends, and I don't want anyone to be confused. Because John McCain went off on...
My goodness.
He went off this morning.
He also
said that everyone who is a part of the Obama administration should be fired.
Whoa.
That is a part of the National Security Administration of the Obama administration should be fired.
Yeah. And the only answer they have to come back with is, well, what about all the mistakes everybody else made 463 years ago that led us to here? It's irrelevant at this point. This is what's wrong with the progressive or liberal argument about all this. This is how children argue. The fact is, we can't change the past. We can only move forward from this point on, and we should. And we got a crisis now. And it more recently would have been fixable if we just left some residual troops there. Tracy,
Good morning.
I'm sorry, Tracy.
I know you had to. That's okay. Listen, jump in and tell everybody an overview between you and Jeff.
A lot of people
may not have been watching the morning news this morning to understand the severity of what's going on over in the Middle East right now. How Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, and us pulling out, giving timelines like we did, is coming back to bite us in the butt. And why is it important to American security for us to be or have a part of what's going on there?
It's bigger than they know. It's bigger than the press is reporting right now. About 6 months ago, over the last 5 years, I've done a lot of financial counseling, as you know, and there's a lot of people who are investing in Iraq, so I did a lot of study on the nation of Iraq specifically. And about 6 months ago, with the telltale sign, they issued a currency. It was almost like certificates issued by mafias and controlling people. It was called the ISIS, and it stood for Islamic State, Iraq and Syria. And you could see right there, we weren't supporting the right side in Syria. And they issued a new currency, and this is now going to be the currency that will spread the region. And this is very important because it leads to what's happening now. They are planning to reunite all the Arab nations and to totally turn the clock back to beyond when the British stepped out and wrote all these and created all these artificial borders, turning tribes into nations back in 1930s. And this is going to be a hell region to deal with. And it's going to affect more than just the politics of this. Right now, there has been a scam perpetrated in this country that's going to affect over 3.5 million Americans for trillions of dollars because they've been investing in Iraq, because they've been given fraudulent information. And when Iraq collapses, their currency will go, the Iraqi dinar. And Americans have been investing in it, and it's been a big secret scam in this country. It's going to hurt those folks. And there's just a lot of things going on right now that we just don't know. But the goal here is to, you know, they started trying to link Syria and Iraq together 6 months ago with this common currency. And now it's becoming like, you ain't a Muslim if you ain't carrying J. Jefferson Davis's Civil War money in your pocket. It's almost the equivalent of what they did during the Civil War. If you were a true Southerner, you had to carry the money of the South. You had to get rid of those Yankee dollars. Well, the currency in Iraq right now is the Iraqi dinar that our ambassador, Paul Bremer, when he oversaw the coalition government being formed, he had that currency printed. That represents America to them. And so there's going to be a lot of trade issues and everything. And the big damning thing about the WikiLeaks documents that people don't understand, the government wasn't upset because of a breach of security. They were upset because in those quarter million documents, and I used to have exact links to them and everything else, it shows that we totally, totally screwed the pooch on this one, Tracy. We did, you know, we were always told, well, the war would pay for itself and this and that. You know, we were so inept with our foreign policy, we didn't even negotiate a reciprocal trade agreement. These idiots in this country run around saying, well, we're over there for Middle Eastern oil. No, we're not. We're not getting any of the oil. We're not getting any of the trade. North Korea, China, Russia, Syria, Iran, those countries negotiated reciprocal trade agreements with the Maliki government, with the Iraqi government. We never did it. There's nothing in this for us. This thing has been totally mismanaged. And now we're paying the price militarily, and we're going to walk out of there with $1 trillion worth of debt saddled on our children for a war that there's absolutely nothing in it for us except shame and dishonor.
Yeah,
he's absolutely correct. 4,479 of our servicemen died over there in that country to secure that area. We have national strategic interest in that area, as you have three situations there that this is what they never tell you outside. First of all, Iran is still enriching uranium, and they're going to make a bomb, and you have no way to stop them. Second of all, you still have a very large oil supply over there that can be used to fund a whole lot of terrorism throughout the world, and it's going to be used that if the Kurds aren't able to hold on to the oil field that they just secured yesterday, the last couple of days. You also have right over Pakistan, which is a very weak government, very unstable, that you do not have a that has nukes already. They have nuclear weapons. And who's going to secure those weapons and stop them from being used by these crazies who want to make the world bow down to Allah? Now, I get on my page and people call me, all the Muslims don't want to do that. No, all the Muslims don't want to. But the radical ones that just went into Iraq are telling you that they want to take over Iraq, Syria, and the rest of the world. That's their statement. And make them, bring them under Sharia law. Now, whether they can get that done or not, I don't know. But you just had also our idiot State Department allow the people from down in Central America to pour over the borders in large numbers. And while they're dealing with that situation, do you think that the sleeper cells and the other people that mean this government and mean this country wrong are not sneaking into the country at the same time?
Hey, good morning, Alabama. How are you?
I agree with Jeff, by the way, until Alabama speaks up, Tracy, because Pakistan is a double threat with its nukes, because it also shares a border with India, and there's an ancient rivalry between those two countries, and India is not going to play the part of Israel and listen to the United States and hold back 1 second defending itself if they think those nukes are going to be used against India. That most likely could be one of the two possible flashpoints in the Middle East.
Oh, yeah.
We're
back to September 10th, 2001.
Yep. September 10th, 2001. That's before 9/11.
That's day before.
Just, yeah.
I mean, that's the day before. So we went back in time?
Yeah.
Just
what
that quick?
Is we're asleep here, and we don't even know what's moving against us right now.
What do you guys think? Oh, go ahead, AJ, because you wanted to jump in and say something.
I was just going to say that this fighting's never going to stop. You know, no matter what, you know, before 9/11, we were fighting with the Middle East, and so, and I understand what they're saying that you know, we're pre 9/11 now, We can't let our guard down, and that's exact. I understand completely what they're saying, is that we are, I think that we have our blinders in our face, and something else could happen.
But now what I'm looking at is, see, and I understand that we will always be fighting this. They're not going to go away. But I believe that there is a controlled fight, and then there is a blindsided fight.
Yeah,
and what's happening with America right now is we are allowing other people to control the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then wondering why we're not in it and or winning it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not trying to win it, and that's the biggest thing about it. It's okay that you're not trying to win it, but this foolishness about announcing when you're getting out of the country and you're leaving, and we told you, everybody told you that could think past think their way out of a wet paper bag, that as soon as you leave, you're going to have these people overrun these countries. They're going to wait you out because they're patient.
Yeah.
They believe something that you don't believe.
I've always said that. I've always told them
right.
That they're very, very patient people. Anytime you can sit inside of a cave and live and it's okay with you because you're comfortable and don't want change, you're very, very patient.
Patient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, the women out of Iraq who were pretty much westernized, they are not westernized as of today. Today, they cannot walk outside the house without a man going with them. They got to wrap their face up. They got to put on all this other stuff. Sharia law is in effect. If anybody is a Christian, because don't forget, when our troops went over there, they started a whole lot of Christian house meetings over there. You have a lot of Christians in that country, and the president does not care. I mean, he does not care. If it doesn't say Muslim on it, he's not going to help you with it.
Mm-hmm.
But everything the Muslims have wanted to do, he gave them. Everything.
Why is that, though?
Well, I mean, he was raised that way. He's sympathetic toward it, whether he is one or not.
But shouldn't he be sympathetic to everybody, then?
No.
Then why just the Muslims?
I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy.
He doesn't not only not believe in American exceptionalism, he believes somehow or another for America to be exceptional, the world is diminished. And he has no idea weakening our Navy is going to lead to a global collapse of trade. If our navy gets any weaker, because remember those incidences there in Somalia with the pirates hitting the ship. Why? Because they could, because that area was unprotected. Well, most of the shipping lanes of the world are protected by your superpowers.
Yeah, and when he gave over those five Taliban operatives, that was a green light for the ISIS to go do what you're doing now.
Right.
Go ahead,
well,
they're
evacuating Americans by the thousands right now out of the Middle East. Why? Because they're now targets, you jerk president. You know, kidnap one of those. Look what we did for a defector soldier. What will you do with a mom, a Christian school teacher mom with five kids back home? What would you do with her, a pastor's wife? How many Taliban would you get? Why don't we just empty Gitmo for her? You know?
Exactly. That's why yesterday, Mike, I went down the gas station. I filled up my gas tank. I got all my gas cans in my garage. They're all filled up because I don't know what's going to happen next week.
Oh, the price is going to move. Oil went up over $107 a barrel yesterday, and if there's any disruption, and meanwhile, we got our president through his mouthpiece saying we're currently exploring our options. When that convoy of the hijacked American Humvees was rolling out of the first city heading toward the second city, there should have been drones taking out the lead cars in the convoy.
Yeah.
There's nothing to think about here. The government is the government right now that's in power is favorable to the United States, wants help from us, would let us do anything we saw fit to do. You know, once the other government is in place, what are you going to do? Start another desert storm all over again and come back in from the bottom of the country and, you know, spend another trillion dollars?
Yeah, and can kill 5,000 more troops die?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and again, this has been 3 years in the making. Sadr, who actually got more votes in the election than Maliki did, gave up his seat to Maliki with certain promises. Sadr ran off to Iran. Like I said, I've done a lot of history study on this. Sadr, who there's a city named after his tribe and his people, Sadr City, went over there and said, all right, I'll lay low. Let me see what you give my people. And about a year and a half ago, he came out and said, you ain't doing nothing for my people. And then they had to renegotiate another little deal where Solder City got all, got like 80,000 new homes built under some building program. By the way, China built most of those homes. And then Solder said, all right, I'll ask my militia of 100,000 to stand down for 6 months till I see what you do to help our people. They don't understand. We took three tribes who hated each other, the British did, and they cobbled it into a country 70, 80 years ago. These people have hated each other for centuries. They're trying to make countries, rational thinking countries, out of people who hate each other.
And who is that? And who is that to say we? Is that Matt, Mark?
No, it's Mike. Mike.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I said, I've done a lot of studying on the history of what goes on here, and it was like, this is a perfect example of, once again, you know, all right, I'm just going to say one thing here, and just let me get the three sentences out, because I know it's contentious, but I apologize, but once I'm finished, you'll see my point. Honest, you will. The United States keeps getting this rap for being imperialistic. The truth is, we have spent most of the last century cleaning up the mess in the world caused by the empires. The British, the French, the Dutch, the Portuguese, the Spanish. They're the ones who had the empires, and we keep having to go in to clean up the mess they caused.
Exactly. And now here they are again asking us for help. They always wait until the problem is so bad that we can't fix it, and then we're the bad guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the Panama Canal was a French mess. We stepped in and finished the canal. The Vietnam was a French mess, you know. Angola was a Portuguese mess, or Spanish, Dutch, you know. We keep having to go in. These wannabe world power nations that whose sun rose and set 100 years ago, you know, have, you know, preached to us all the time and everything else, but they're the ones who caused all these darn problems.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want us to be the world's police. Stop asking us to be the world's police, you know?
Mm-hmm. I have a if after World War II, this is again just my own theory of what we should have done. After World War II, once we had Japan and Germany in check and Italy in check, we should have just said, okay, guys, we're going back and we're going to put our resources into building the hemisphere called the Americas, North, South, and Central America. And we're going to turn it into a paradise. We had the resources, we had the technology, we had the industry, we had the education, we had everything right here in this hemisphere. And we could tell these people today, you want
to
come play in our market.
Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Listen if you're missing, y'all. Swinging while I'm swinging.
Hey!
Giving what you're getting. Knowing what I'm knowing. While the black band's sweating in the rhythm of rolling. Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need.
Hey!
Our freedom of speech is freedom of sex. We got to fight the power of that beat. Fight the power.
As
the rhythm designed to bounce with health and mental
lives,
designed to fill your mind, now that you realize the prize arrives,
we got
to pump the stuff to make it up. From the heart, it's the start of work of art to revolutionize, make a change, something great.
People,
we are the same, no, we're not the same, because we don't know the game. What we need is awareness, we can't get careless.
You
say, what is this?
Have
a love it, let's get down to business, mental self-defense.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. And it looks like the chat line's actually, the chat line that's still filling up. The number again is 347-945-5229. And it's open mic today. Today is the 13th of, today's Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th, yeah.
It's 13th of June 2014. And it is. Open Mic Friday, and this, we missed a lot this week, but this Iraq thing, because it is the hottest topic, I'm going to start there. Covina, man, your mic is got a hum in the back. Go ahead. How are you this morning?
Oh, does it have a hum? I don't know if that's me. I hear somebody. But anyway, now I don't hear you. Okay. I was going to say, man, it's no surprise that as Not So Blind Mike and John McCain points out, you know, repeatedly, that the answer to all the problems that they see is more war, for Europeans to go in there and create some war. And when that war doesn't work, you do more war. And when that war dies down, just do more war. That's the solution. Their solution is always, if there's an economic problem, tax cuts for the rich, deregulation, if there's a problem in the world, go to war. That's their solution. I think that the rest of the world, I think America has rejected that, and I do believe America will reject that again, time and time again. I think it's been proven that's not the solution.
You know, if you keep on dumbing down America, they're always going to back away because they'll be chicken. Go ahead, Jeff.
I was going to ask him, are we still having war in Bosnia? Are we still having war in Germany? Yes, we are having some skirmishes in not the Philippines. Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you stop an area, and once you've invested in that area and you have strategic interest in that area, you leave a force that will keep the balance of power going in that place. We're still in Germany. We're still in Korea. We're still in Bosnia. And the peace is being kept. So my point is, I understand that you guys don't understand what happens when you
I understand that you're confused, but let me help you with your confusion.
Yeah, that's precisely the point. You're very confused, but it's okay. 4,400 people died to stabilize that country. And you know why? At the time when we went in there, they were the second largest oil supply in the world. They are no longer, but they were the second largest oil supply. Iraq had the third largest oil supply, or vice versa, whatever. If Iran had been able to walk in there, they would have had the largest oil supply in the world, and they would have destroyed the balance of power with OPEC, this, that, and other. After we went in there, developed their oil fields, developed their country, developed their government, and westernized them to the point of where they were living in peace except for Saddam Hussein and the Kurds.
Yeah.
Saddam Hussein didn't want to do certain things. He balked. He bit the hand that fed him, and they had to remove him.
Now, listen, guys.
What's going to be even more scary about this, Jeff, is that under the terms of the Basel, not the Basel Agreement, the Paris Accords, Iraq, when it finally had a stable government, was given back what they called the Development Fund for Iraq, which was known as the Oil for Food Program. All those years we were there and had a presence, all that oil revenue was going into a fund. That fund is estimated to be close to $300 billion. Now, that may not sound like a lot of money, but when in a country of only 30 million people, to scale that up, that would be the equivalent of $3 trillion. Like the United States all of a sudden found $3 trillion. Well, the government, that funds were released to Iraq because they're no longer under UN sanctions. They're out of a Chapter 7 sanction. And again, you can read all this. Nobody has to take my word for this. You can read all this on the UN's website and see where all the motions were and everything else over the last 3 years. Whoever runs that government now has that $300 billion at their disposal. They can choose to use it to build the roads and develop the infrastructure. A terrorist government won't do that.
Let me ask you this.
With $300 billion, you can buy a lot of suitcase nukes.
This is my question. When you look at what's going on over there and us talking about, well, we don't need to be there, we shouldn't have been there, it's all our fault because it's there, yet we are still at peace and we haven't had any type of attack on American soil since we've been over there. How will this change all that? Because right now they tell me that people are taking the eye off of America is still not out of enemy eyesight.
Right. Well, we have had attacks, first of all, Tracy. That's what down in Texas, the Fort Hood shooter was. That was a terrorist attack. They'll change in nature. I don't know if they'll get, if they'll ever be able to commandeer several large airplanes and smash them into another tall building. But you know, they can disrupt our society if we start being fearful to be on a subway or take a bus or ride a train. If they start damaging infrastructure in this country, where you know they blow up a, you know, they disable a section of train track, and a high speed Amtrak train is coming down it, you know, a quarter mile away with no time to stop, you'll kill 300 people. It'll just change what they're doing.
Yeah, you hijack an oil tanker, you can do a lot of damage with that.
Life is a fantasy, I guess, for you guys.
I have friends that work at nuclear power plants, and they're scared to death how little the security is at nuclear power plants around this country.
Okay, hold on. Let me pull some other calls in. Please wait for me to call you up before you actually speak. South Carolina, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you all doing?
Good. How are you?
You know what, Tracy? This is what happens. This is what happens when politicians start fighting wars. And the same thing happened in Vietnam, and now you've got a complete mess, a complete utter mess in Iraq. So now you've got folks that are running scared. 500,000 people from the natives there are running away from these people they're afraid of. So I mean, there's gonna come a point in time here in the very near future when these guys are gonna take a shot at us. I believe that 100%.
I do too, because their confidence is growing every time we make a foolish decision, and we show them our weakness. Stanley, your mic is on.
Oh boy, here we go again.
Don't cuss.
Oh boy. Okay, I want to ask all the war mongers, all the people who are against for the war and everything, since you do so much research and everything. Do you know how many Iraq people got killed because of a stupid decision?
Yeah.
How many? Thousands. How many? Because you're all coming back to 4,000 troops of America got killed. How many Iraq people got killed because of our stupid decision?
Too many.
Oh, no.
What stupid decision?
None.
But how many lives were saved?
Let's answer this, because you're all acting like those were not human beings. Those were nothing. I'm sure if you will look at the stats and you do the research, and you can do the research very easily, 600,000 people got killed during the Iraq War.
Stanley,
600,000 people. That's 10 times, that's 20 times, 200
Stanley.
Times the 3,000 that you're always
saying. Stanley, do you realize how many people died so that America could be free?
No, I'm not. No, we're not going to focus on that, Tracy. We're going to focus on
war.
No, Tracy, we're going to
focus. Stanley,
no, Tracy,
listen.
You can't have it both ways.
Yes,
I can.
Reason why I can't have it that way is because in war people die.
No, that was not a war. Wait, that was not a war that was done by them. They were not in conflict with us. Do you need to go back to the history?
Did you hear
again?
What I said? Did you hear what I said? In war, people die. Good people die
Tracy,
and bad people. Good people die and bad people die.
Tracy,
more people
that was
die.
Not Tracy. That was not a war that they wanted to do with us. Let's be honest. That was not a war that they wanted to do with us. Saddam Hussein didn't declare a war against the United States. Saddam Hussein was basically sitting. He was sitting down his butt and doing nothing, and we decided to go against him.
No, that's not true. Saddam declared a war against his people.
No. He declared a war. Wait. He declared a war against their people, but that war against our people was Wait a minute. Yes, it was.
Where did you read that?
Okay. During that time that Saddam Hussein was killing all his people, do you know that Rumsfeld and everything was basically dealing with him? You know that? That's history.
Right,
that's a fact.
He killed most of the Kurds before
9/11.
Thank you.
Stanley, what else did he do? Saddam Hussein was actually put in power by the United States of America.
Jimmy Carter put him in power.
Let's understand how this. Let's go through this timeline. Saddam Hussein was put in power by America.
Mm-hmm.
He was put in power to help us secure
somewhat of camaraderie over in the Middle East, and he became too big for his pants.
But he, but he did. He was our guy in the 10-year war against Iraq.
Correct. But then he changed his mind. But then he changed his mind.
And also, and I appreciate Jeff. You told the truth. He was also there when he killed all his own people. We didn't do nothing during that time. Rumsfeld was basically dealing with him and doing things. So do not come to me, Tracy, and say
hold
he
on,
was
family,
killing his own
family,
people.
Family. But he killed. But he did go back and start killing his own people.
No, no, he was killing his people before.
Outside,
that's not why we got him.
We got him because of oil and nuclear weapons.
Well, not nuclear weapons even because we knew he had not developed his nuclear weapons yet.
But we knew that we gave them to him.
But well, we didn't give him nuclear weapons.
What
did we give him? We gave him a lot of other weapons though that could do a lot of damage, and those weapons are being used in Syria right now.
Did we not give him weapons of mass destruction?
Yes, we did. But
we did give him those, right?
But let's be honest about why we went, and this is why you went. Saddam Hussein asked George Bush one. If he could do something about Kuwait slant drilling up under his country. Yes, he told him, go ahead and do something. Well, when he attacked Kuwait, Margaret Thatcher had a hissy fit and called over to the United States and said, you're messing with BP oil over there now. They're going in our oil fields and they're doing this, that, and the other. We're not the ones doing this, blah, blah, blah. Well, we told him to retreat, and he got mad. So then when he got mad, he says, well, I guess we can't finish that one
back. So we did it for the people. We didn't do it for the people. Saddam Hussein was killing his own people before, people. Get your history straight.
Right, with the weapons of mass destruction that the U.S. gave him. And they weren't
you're all acting. We did it. No, you didn't. Iraq was not in war against the United States. Saddam Hussein was sitting his butt doing nothing. 9/11 happened, and everybody was telling you go against Bin Laden. Then George Bush said it was a disgrace that his father didn't finish the job, so I'm going to finish the job. That's what happened.
Right? They're trying to rewrite the Iraq War as if we're not all living during the whole history. This is only
like
10 years
ago. Let me ask you guys
a
question, though.
That's retarded.
Let me ask you guys a question. Why do we need to go to Iraq if we got Saddam? We weren't supposed to get Saddam, but we got him anyway. We got Bin Laden. Everybody, I mean, Al-Qaeda's been pretty much a lot of guys. We can still go after them in other areas, but do we need to go and hold up a government? If a government can't stand on its own, I mean, we as conservatives should feel that. Look, if a government can't stand on its own, then it needs to fall. We can't come and support you with our blood, because if you don't value it unless it's your blood.
You know,
yes,
this is
our
blood.
I don't care.
You
have to take responsibility.
This is a Sunni Shiite issue. I don't care what I want them to kill it. Blow each other up. I don't care. I'm going to ask
them
to watch it happen.
But you have to take responsibility. But you have to take responsibility when we are responsible for 600,000 people that got killed because of her stupid mistake.
But we're not responsible.
We are.
I know. No, I'm saying we should be, but we're not. Nobody, these Americans here don't care how many. You can kill 500.
Exactly. I could come with the stat of saying 600,000 people got killed. If 600,000 Americans were killed, everybody would say that, my God, what a terrorist.
Okay, family. All right, fine.
Family.
Let's see what happens.
Numbers are wrong. Your numbers are wrong. The number of civilians that were killed. is 138,000. There's not 600,000. If they were killed by us. No. They were killed. I'm talking about since 2003.
Okay. Let's go to your number, 130,000. That's still awful. Because if I tell you 100,000, 30,000 Americans got killed, you would be the first one going berserk.
Family.
Don't forget, 9/11, how many people got killed in 9/11? 3,000. How many troops got killed? 3,000. That's not 131,000 people.
Stanley, I'm going to say something. Hold on, Sal. One thing about that culture, a lot of those 138,000 people are suicide bombers from their own people in their own area.
Even if I give you this, even if I tell you 50% is it, it's still too much. still at $60,000
Stanley, you got over-sensationalized it. I say we don't belong over there just like you do. But I'm not going to over-sensationalize because those suicide bombers blew up a lot of people, man. They killed a lot of innocent
civilians. But I'm not going to act like a hypocrite as American and act, oh, we lost 3,000 Americans. So what? So what? Is 3,000 Americans going to bring 60,000 people?
Hey, listen to this.
So what? Are you telling me that 3,000 Americans is better than 6,000?
How many funerals have you been to? How many funerals have you been to for dead soldiers in Iraq, Stanley? I've been to several.
What gives you the right to not see both sides? What gives you the right to not see both sides? Are you being hypocrite when I'm telling you 3,000 Americans got killed? Fine, that was a strategy. Let me finish. 3,000 Americans got killed, which is a tragedy. But when I bring you Iraq people, 60,000 got killed. I don't hear you cry. I don't hear you say
hey, listen,
tragedy
Stanley,
too.
Stanley, on Wednesday, June the 11th, 2003, all right, they're in Baghdad, killed by bombs, one by gunfire, okay, five by car bomb. In Basra, two by car bomb. Safwan, two by car bomb. Tikrit, IED, three by shell and one by car bomb. Okay, you go to the 10th of June, all right, 31, they were having a funeral, 31 killed at a funeral by car bomb, 11 killed by IED, two by shell and one by car bomb in Rafa. Okay, so the majority of this stuff is IED, 14 by IED, all right, 10 by shell and 8 by car bomb, you know. I mean, you're looking at this stuff, car bomb every day, one by IED, two policemen by gunfire, you know, six by IED. I'm going on the 7th of June. I mean, you're looking at this. It's not by American fighters.
Wait a minute. It's
okay?
not by American.
American soldiers did not put out an IED.
We invaded a country that didn't act to war with us. We have to take responsibility of that. It would be like China deciding tomorrow to invade America, and basically defending ourselves, and acting like,
why are you so passionate about it when I don't disagree with you?
Stop what you're doing, cause I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to. I look funny, but yo, I'm making money, see? So yo, world, I hope you're ready for me. Now gather round. I'm the new fool in town, and my sound's laid down by the underground. I drink a bottle of Hennessy you got on your shelf, so just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty, pronounced with the umpty. Yo, ladies, oh, how I like to funk thee. And all the rappers in the top 10, please allow me to bump thee. I'm stepping tall, y'all, and just like Humpty Dumpty, you're gonna fall when the stereos pump me. I like the rhyme, I like my beats funky, I'm spunky. I like my oatmeal lumpy, I'm sick with this. Straight gangsta Mac, but sometimes I get ridiculous. I'll eat up all your crackers and your licorice. Oh, yo, fat girl, come here, are you ticklish? Yeah, I called you fat. Look at me, I'm skinny. It never stopped me from getting busy, I'm a freak. I like the girls with the boom. I once got busy in a bathroom, I'm crazy. Allow me to
I'm glad they censored their own music. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229.
What are you doing? Where do you find this music?
What do you mean, what? It's my era.
Huh?
That's funny, man.
What do you mean, where I find this music?
I have heard, you know, I have been listening and been on this show for a year now.
Yeah.
And I have heard so much music come through the station from you. We've heard the Burning Down Walmart song. I heard something about Making Peace last week. There was a Why Can't We Be Friends song, something like that. This song, and then the song you played the intro to before our last
You've never heard that song before?
I've never heard any of these songs you played. What is this, huh?
This is Digital Underground.
Never heard of it. Never heard of it.
Yes,
Jeff was singing every single word.
No, Jeff. Actually, no. He's still in high school, so no. This was way before that.
96.
No,
1990.
He's born in 96. Yeah, that was
1997. Yeah.
88. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tupac was a background dancer back then.
I was still in school when this came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah,
right. Seriously.
Mm-hmm. Aren't you older than Tracy, Jeff?
Mm-mm. Thank you so much.
No.
Yeah, this came, I mean, this is the original. This is the original rap.
Don't
push me.
I remember last summer.
Huh?
You and I spent the entire show, last summer, we were talking about music.
Yeah.
And just some of the music that you listen to. Is this music you actually listen to, or is this?
Very seldom. That's not for my own leisure.
Yeah, for your own leisure, or is this just for to open the show?
Well, what you find out is there's music that I have listened to out throughout the years,
mm-hmm.
but it's not my genre of music to listen to.
Okay.
So I'm very musically interested in music.
Yeah.
And so I like all kinds. I like
love
polka.
Music.
I like polka. I like
polka.
I like country western.
Country.
I like
good. But country's not really country anymore.
I like rock. Yeah, I like Trace. I like, you know, but there is, you know, I like Big and Rich.
Big and Rich is good. They're an older group, aren't they?
What do you mean you can't hear me in the chat room?
Put your yellow thing up by that orange arrow.
It is by the orange arrow. If they can't hear me, who can't even hear me in the chat room?
It should be pointing at that black thing.
It is. If they can't hear me, that's a problem.
I can hear you. I can hear you loud and clear. Trust me.
Thank you very much. So I listen to a lot of music, but it's not the music that I listen to for my own leisure.
What do you?
I listen to gospel.
Okay.
I listen to gospel. I listen to jazz.
Like old gospel, like old Christian gospel, or are you talking about newer gospel?
A mix of all of it.
We're talking about Toby Mac, or are we talking about the Cathedrals, or
no, none of the above.
Well, Toby Mac.
Cathedrals.
I like Wes Morgan.
Say, Toby Mac is the newer.
No.
Christian gospel, and then there's the cathedral. I only know the cathedrals because of my grandma.
I do gospel, not Christian.
Okay.
That's Christian.
Cathedrals are considered
Christian.
That's Christian.
My grandma
the only contemporary Christian I listen to is Wes Morgan. I think there's one more guy, and CeCe Winans, but she's a crossover.
I've never heard of, no.
You don't know who Wes Morgan is?
No.
Oh, Wes
no
Morgan
idea.
Is awesome.
We are from two
but
very
absolutely,
different.
Absolutely. It's Christian gospel. I don't mess around with that.
We are from very different areas.
Y'all still clapping on 1 and 3, even in the Christian job, and I got to do 2 and 4.
The music between you and I, we're very different.
Absolutely.
I'm into just the newer stuff. So we're
do
way
you know who, do you, Ty Tribbett?
Nope.
See what I'm saying? That's not new. How about, you know.
I guess I'm out of the loop of music then, because I have no idea what you're
talking
about.
I did the other day. I can't think of
his
name.
Testimony. That's black gospel.
Anthony Brown?
Say that one again.
Anthony Brown?
I've heard the name. I'm way off.
Yeah. I'm going back to my phone. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number's 347-945-5229. Hey, even Greg knows that's Digital Humpty. It's a Digital Underground that's Humpty.
He said it was in the 90s, so it was near somebody's.
What'd you say, Larry?
It was 1990. The original release of the Humpty Dance, 1990. Tracy,
I was a freshman at Kent State when that came out.
Hold on, guys. Go ahead, Larry.
I would like to ask, and it's a question to Stanley, because I just don't understand the rationale, but I'll give him that. He can say, because this is what all liberals do, they want to go back and blame, well, we shouldn't have been there in the first place. Okay, I'll accept that. Now, we're there, and we pulled our troops out. Is Stanley going to hold the president accountable because he pulled those troops out when everybody in the military was saying no, and you got headless bodies of policemen and army men and citizens? They pulled a businessman out of his car and shot him on TV. So is Obama responsible for that?
Yes.
And those out there? And that's my question.
Yes.
Every presidency has a responsibility for what they did. Yes. Yes.
Great.
Period. Yes. Right. I'm not going to say
okay.
no.
Hold on. Hold on, Stanley. Go ahead, not so blind, Mike. What were you saying?
I was saying yes, and I agree with Stanley. What Stanley said is the only rational, reasonable thing, and he is a rational, reasonable man most of the time. But you know, and yes, and I agree with, I think it was Larry said it, yeah. Everybody's responsible for their actions from this point on. The other thing that I just wanted to share something here to show you how complicated dealing with the Arabs is, okay? They have a unique thing in their culture. Stanley, this is how their parliament works. And if you think our Congress gets nothing done, you ought to see what the Iraqi parliament is like. If I come to you, Stanley, and I try to share something with you that I know, I have insulted you because I'm saying you're stupid. If you come to me and have to ask a question, you have now insulted your family heritage because you're admitting you don't know, you are stupid. So how the heck in a culture do you get anything done where to ask a question or provide information is insulting somebody?
Dad, not too bad.
Well, I didn't know that.
We have gotten into a bigger mess than just sticking troops in there. We've inserted ourselves into a culture we do not understand.
I agree with you. Agree with you completely. No doubt.
Hold on.
We should have been more smart to do something to think about all those consequences before putting our hands in that.
Stanley, I don't know if you were here during one of the breaks about a half hour ago, but here's the bottom line here. Once again, the United States has to go in and clean up a mess that the British Empire created. And for the last 100 years, that's what we've been doing, cleaning up the British, the French, the Spanish, the Portuguese, and the Dutch empires from 2 centuries ago.
Okay, guys, hold on. Local call, your mic is on.
Hello?
Get out the room. Hold on. Either go out the room that you're in, Steve, or I'm going to have to hang up on you because I've got background noise.
Oh, huh?
I can hear the television in the background.
Okay.
Now, go ahead and make your point. Make your comment.
Ms. Tracy, what I was going to say, I remember what Eisenhower said. He warned the American people, I think, about 53 years ago, and plus, I think even back in the 50s, for some reason, Eisenhower, being that he was a military man and that he was a general, that he was not for the military.
I hope it gets better.
You know, contracting. He was not for the military complex industries or something like that. Because I was trying to find out about that, and I learned it had something to do with American contractors who was contracting with the military, and they're the ones who pretty much are behind the wars. And plus, they probably were, even helped people who had something to do with making oil and stuff like that.
You don't need to do that.
And I've often said that.
Good news?
Yep, I did.
All right. Have a good weekend.
So, I mean, the one guy was stating that the British, because they probably, as well as other nations, was involved in that situation too, but
you can hide uneven skin tone.
Okay.
So, because I think it goes back to what Eisenhower said. We in this country here was our contracting.
Hello.
Hold on just a second.
I think that's why we're having the problems, because I think it's and then plus,
hurry up, Steve.
I think it's the Obama administration, and like a lot of times I say that he's a puppet, and I say that in the sense that he, as well as other presidents, pretty much had to go along.
Go along with who, Steve?
Well, I had to go along with.
With who?
With the military, I think.
What so the military runs the country? Hold on, I got to take another call. 330-398. Your mic is on.
Oh, is this me?
Yes.
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good, good, good. I just want to make a statement, and yeah, I didn't call to engage, but he is that last question you asked him is pretty much correct. I just want to say, it's not true. One would be naive to say that we really care about those people. Americans don't care about those people or their culture. The 9-year war between Iran and Iraq, we supplied both sides. It was a point of public knowledge. It was only when some rich man's tanker got blew out of the water that something had to be done. A rich man actually influenced America for giving Iraq biochemical weapons. The war was over in less than a year. And the Iranians, it was public knowledge, it was in the newspapers, that they came to the border literally on their knees and begged for forgiveness because they had nothing to counter biochemical weapons. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you, and you have a good day, Tracy.
Okay, thanks.
I don't know what he was saying. And that's my man. He's very, usually very insightful.
Larry? Okay, Larry, any comment?
Yeah, I'm not going to comment. I mean, I just, it's the liberals' way, Tracy, of always going back and blaming Bush for everything without, and it's funny, it's ironic, actually, that Stanley will say, we got to accept responsibility, but he don't want to accept responsibility for anything the past 6 years since they've been in power in the executive office. So I just find it highly hypocritical, to be quite honest with you, Trace. It's funny.
Is Stanley here to defend himself?
Yeah, Stanley's here. Hold on. Lord Stanley.
He must be busy.
Might be.
Stanley
yeah.
did say before he will hold this president accountable for the parts that he had no problem with that. So
but
that's
the question
a fair
is, characterization. But the question is, the question is, one, should we have gone or should we not have gone?
You had to go.
So we had to go. So now that we're there, remember there was a lot of mess ups in the beginning with Bush. He made a lot of bad choices.
I disagree totally.
No, but they made choices because one, remember they didn't want to send as many troops in early as they should have.
Right.
So that was not a good choice.
That's true.
Okay. Then you have to, and then remember, we were trying to make it into a political war then.
Yeah.
Here in the White House. So they were not following the advice
of the
generals. They were going on their own political passions.
Yeah.
And their social passions.
Was it Wolfowitz said that they'll cheer us coming in?
Correct.
And it became a problem.
Right. So then we also have President Obama coming in and him trying to make everybody happy. So he goes in and says, we're going to bring everybody home because it's over and not leaving any residual troops behind. It's over. We're going to pull them out, give you deadlines by the end of this year. He's good for this. By this time next year, they'll all be home, and you can just – everything will be back to normal.
Yeah.
And that was a political move for the American public because elections were coming up. That's what that's
and as you guys know, I am not I'm not a foreign policy – I'm not proficient at it. That's not my passion like that. But what I will say is, what's going on right here, and what I find is we are politicizing the lives of our military and our foreign policy, and we continue to politicize it. Pardon me?
I was going to ask if I can get in.
Hold on, and we continue to politicize for whatever cause. Our wars, our policies, and it's not to the benefit of the American people and our country at large.
No.
And so, based upon what election's coming up, that is the election that we actually how we yield and how we make our decisions, not based upon just doing the right thing. And I have to stand. I have to take sides with John McCain, saying that the generals who are in place right now.
Told you.
Who are allowing President Obama and feeding information that's bad information shouldn't be there because you're not supposed to tell the man what he wants to hear. You tell the man the truth.
They did. They told him that this was a mistake. Don't do it.
So why did he do it?
Because
he purged those guys. Well, he purged those generals. There's been more generals shown the door and taken early retirement or forced into it than ever in the history of the military.
Ever in the history.
Ever in the history. It's because anybody that disagreed with his political side of it and didn't toe the line of saying yes, sir, they were shown the door, Tracy. But here it goes back to the whole rules for radicals type of deal. If you want to pull your troops out of it, because let's be honest, oil is a big part of it out there. If you shut down that oil, right, even though we're not buying a lot of it, it's going to affect the market. It's going to affect us.
Right.
So if you pull your troops out, then why not fast-track the Keystone Pipeline and replace that oil with somebody that really likes us, like Canada? It does not make sense. His whole foreign policy is just like his domestic policy. They go against each other to ensure failure.
Right.
And ensure. And go. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Covina Man. Sorry.
I think it was Covina Man that said that we don't understand those people there. We just
That wasn't me. I don't talk like that. I don't degrade other people's culture. I'm more.
It's not degrading.
I'm just more about the
idea.
Just
say no. Covina Man, just say no. It wasn't you, and make your statement.
Okay. Whoever said it, whoever made the statement about we don't understand their culture. We don't understand that the Sunni and the Shiites, we don't understand that they hate each other just as much as the Kurds up north dislike both of them. And it goes back centuries, and I think Jeff disagreed with you, Tracy, but I'll agree with you. Bush made some mistakes. He listened to the neocons thinking that we could just go over, throw Saddam out, and that people would embrace democracy, but they never had to fight for democracy like we did.
Hold on, Covina, man. Go ahead, Covina. Hold on, LJ.
Okay.
Go ahead, Covina.
Okay, thank you. Is that the country is spelled I-R-A-Q. It's not USA. It's not English. It's not European. It's Arab. It's their country. It's their land. Kurdish, Sunni, whomever it is, it's not ours. We don't own it. We can't say we're gonna stay there. You don't stay where something is not yours. It is not the U.S.'s or European country. It is their land. Get the heck out of other people's land, period.
Maliki,
who was
lawfully elected.
No, hold on, Mike, whoa. Hey,
wrong, honey.
Hey. Covina Man, I have a question for you. You may be right in telling us we should not have been there, but do you really think if we go home, they'll let us go and go away?
There's ways to deal with that.
No, Covina Man. No, don't answer the question with a comment.
Yes, I do not know.
Answer the question.
I do not know.
So do you think we ought to be reactionary, or do you think we ought to be proactive?
I think we should. I think we should stay down with it. Go ahead.
Hold on, Stanley. Covina Man.
Yes, we should do both. But one thing that we should not do is be in Iraq, period. Whether it was before or now, we should not be there. That's my opinion right there.
So you think we ought to be you think that we ought to come out, stay out, and let them do what they have to do. And if they come here, then respond.
Yes.
How do you do that?
And
so,
what is the response?
Covina Man, I'm asking you.
I said yes.
We got to come home, build our military, let them kill each other, and don't deal with them until they come here. Now, do you want them to come here on your land, or do you want us to go back to where they are?
I just doubt that. I do not know for sure. I'm not a psychic, but I doubt that they're going to come over
here. That's not psychic. The question is, want them to come here and be on your land, or do you want for them to retaliate here and then us try to figure out what to do then?
No, I think we should be proactive and keep them from coming here. That's what I would say.
You can't keep them from coming here.
How do you keep them from coming here?
You got to control your borders. You got to watch who's coming in and out.
Okay, so when you say control your borders, what do you mean by that? How do you mean control our borders? Because right now we don't have good border control.
They're being cleared right now.
Exactly. So we spend so much money over there killing up people. We can't stop 10-year-olds from crossing across the border.
Well, let me
hold on. I got to let them in.
Yeah, first he didn't talk either.
Go ahead, AJ.
I just wanted to ask. You know, we were talking about the, you know, right or wrong decisions that Bush made when he was president. We're talking about the right or wrong decisions that Obama has made. My question is, what happens when Obama's gone? Let's say Hillary gets elected. Who's she going to blame?
Who's she going to blame
for the mess? Who, for the mess that we have today?
Bush and Obama.
Do you think she would blame Obama?
No,
she has to.
She can't blame Obama.
She has to.
She won't.
A choice.
She won't.
She
blame
wants
Obama.
Her husband to be Secretary General too. You have to understand. This is what these two are fighting about.
Because let's say a Republican gets in office. Will they blame somebody?
They're going to blame Obama.
Blame Obama.
But then why do we criticize Obama for criticizing Bush if we know whoever gets elected is going to be criticizing Obama?
Are we just playing the blame game?
It's what we do. Trace is into his presidency.
Are we just playing the blame game?
Yeah. Hey, what did you say, Larry?
Tracy, can I answer that question?
Yes.
It depends on who you elect. I have watched John Kasich for almost 4 years now, and I don't once remember him uttering Strickland's administration. A real leader, if we elect a real leader, will come in, he'll identify the problem, he'll tell you his solution to the problem, and then once he's elected, he'll implement that, and then you can check the results. So I disagree that a Republican is going to blame Obama, not if you elect the right Republican. He'll come in, identify the problem, offer a solution. If he sells it properly to the people, then once he's in office, he implements his plan.
Then who's the right Republican to elect for that? Because
hey, I'll be right back.
You're listening
to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of our break.
For a moment about a great doctor, Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley and read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that.
Hello?
Hello? Is Jeff there?
They're on break.
They're on break? Good. Is there a chance that I get to talk? I'm trying to find, he talked about a map that was an old history map, and I'm trying to find the name of Afghanistan and those countries before they were changed.
I'm driving or I'd look it up myself without saying it, I think they were all a part of Persia, if I'm correct.
The Ottoman Empire.
The Ottoman Empire?
Okay. Well, what map can I find that would give me that information?
If you Google Ottoman Empire,
Uh-huh.
And then on the top row there, it's there's a thing for images. Click on images, and it will bring you up maps of that particular thing.
Okay, thank you very much there.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate that. Mm-hmm, bye-bye.
Is the guy still online to ask about that as far as blame game?
No, AJ's in the studio with him.
Oh, okay. How you doing, Diva?
I'm trying to keep my cool, keep my blood pressure steady.
You cool about the game? You watched the game last night, Diva? You watched the game last night? Watched the Heat get beat up?
No, neither one of them are my team, so I could care less.
Yeah, them old men are showing the Heat up.
Who's your team then?
Lakers.
Them old head Spurs are showing the Heat up. I'm so glad they won. I'm so glad they win, man.
Tim Duncan doesn't get enough credit.
But the only thing that I can say is that, I don't know, this just seems so rigged. LeBron is just so, he's not consistent.
You know what?
I'm
going to tell you something. LeBron is trying to team up with Carmelo Anthony. That's a punk.
Oh, he's tanking the Heat like he tanked the Cavs to get what he wants?
I'm just saying, though, you don't go team up with three top five players in the league on one team. That's a buster, man. You don't do nothing like that.
That's a monopoly.
Well,
it ain't working.
I don't know if he's tanking it, but I know, and I looked at, my brother and I talked about this morning. Dwayne Wade looks like he's not doing well. Actually, he looks, his face is all swollen. It looks like he's, I don't know whether he's sick, but he's definitely not playing.
No, he just got big jaws, man. Dwayne Wade got a good woman. She cooking, putting it on him at the house. He's sitting around chilling. He's comfortable. He needs to go sit down somewhere.
Yeah, they need to get out of the club. They'd be in the club too late.
If he was that happy, then he wouldn't have popped up and had another baby, a baby on her. So I don't know if it's all that good at the Wade household.
What? I mean, come on now. I mean, women, come on. The man is in the NBA. You know the choices that he had. I was down there at his birthday party one time. I saw what he was making when I was there. It was crazy.
And just because it's available, you take advantage of it? Okay.
I ain't saying take advantage of it, but I'm just saying, though, y'all, I mean, people kill me with that.
He's got a good woman at home. She cooking. He happy. Well, if he was all that happy, then he wouldn't have stepped out on her.
They were supposedly broke up at the time, and Gabrielle is his woman, and she cool with it. You need to let it go. She let it go.
I didn't say that. I'm talking to the point what you said. I could care less about what Gabby's feelings are. I could care less about what his feelings are.
It's been almost a year now. It's been almost a year since they found it out. Hold on. She knew for almost a year now. So, I mean.
I don't care if she knew. I could care. I'm not speaking to Gabby or her feelings. I was speaking to you saying that he was happy. Obviously, he wasn't all that happy at home if he felt he could stay. If he felt
the
need to step
on her. So, if he steps out, so if they have in their relationship and he steps out one time, then he's never happy for the whole entirety of the relationship.
Exactly. You don't understand. It's not because a man steps out of you for one time. That means he's not happy in the marriage.
Then, wait a minute. What else would cause a guy to step out just for
he found somebody. I'm sorry.
It's in giggles?
The most beautiful woman in front of him is saying, I would be with you. A lot of guys would say, I would do it. And that has nothing to do with the marriage. Women, you got to get over that.
Men who are happy married cheat. But I don't get no loving, and that's no lie. We spent the night in Frisco.
That's the craziest thing I heard in a marriage thing. From that night, being faithful for the rest of your life in one person. Really? Really? That's crazy.
Hey, good morning and welcome back to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm in the studio with Jeff and AJ. Got some phone callers on the line. AJ says, I've never heard this before. And I said, you know, I'm like, wow, you've had to have heard this. But then when I thought about it and I see the video running as I'm playing it, Michael Jackson was dark-skinned, so you may not have heard this.
Definitely
look
not.
This, Jeff.
Zeph, look at this.
Dark skin.
He got his real nose.
He had a real nose. He had real hair, and he had a he was dark in hue. Yeah, maybe you didn't know Mike.
Man, the Michael I know, Michael Jackson I know, is the "I feel a gene at my door." Like, that's the Michael Jackson I know.
Not my lover, DJ.
Let him have his own words.
No, 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 he can't do that, man. We'll lose our
I
know
this was back in the 80s, early, late 70s.
My parents would know then.
Mike had fro. He had excessively curly hair without a weave. Wow. Okay. You listen to this.
Oh my goodness. I'm gonna have to go home and do some
research.
Yes, exactly. So when I come back next Friday, I'll be like, "Oh, I've heard that song. Oh, I've heard that song too."
It's like a flashback.
Why is that so low? Oh, you don't have it turned up.
Because we were talking about it.
There we go.
Swimming on the boogie.
This is something I guess I could groove to.
Don't blame it on the moonlight.
Hey, listen, and we might as well blame somebody. Hey, we're back.
Can we go back to my question?
What question is that?
The question I said right before, well, because you cut me off about the who's going to blame who next.
We're going to blame it on the boogie.
Well, I mean,
that's
everybody,
like, who's on first?
We're going to blame it on the boogie. That's why I played it.
It would be something, AJ. I mean, you can't tell unless somebody starts talking now and telling us, you know, what they feel about what shape the country in and whose fault it is.
Mm-hmm. Are we going all the way back to the founding fathers? Is that who
we
need to blame?
Well, I mean, come on now, come on. You're being facetious. But it's like we need to take a look at who is a good candidate, who's going to be a smart leader, mm-hmm. and get behind that person. But I think because the party is so torn up now with this civil war, you might not be able to get a good leader out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I still subscribe to the fact that Jeb Bush is going to run. If Jeb Bush runs, he's going to win.
You think he is?
Yeah, and it's going to be a reason why he'll win. And the reason why he'll win is because the Skull and Bone Society already said he's going to be, just like they said George Bush would be.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how much is going on in the situation, I don't know how they control things. You know, when people overvoted in these past two elections, where you can't find out why a place that only has, say, 100 registered voters, you got 150 votes out of that area. That's kind of crazy.
But let me say this. You know, you ask a question, who's going to blame whom?
Right.
And Bill, who is my wonderful researcher.
Yes.
Bill said you don't hear anybody blaming Obama about bad administration out of the Obama administration.
He can't.
Well, it's not that he can't.
No, he can't.
Can't what?
He cannot say anything about the Clinton administration.
Why not?
Because it would take all the pressure off of Bush.
Yeah.
He has to Republicans demonized.
So
plus, that would take votes away from Hillary.
Because now, because
I'm not worried about taking votes from Hillary.
It is. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and it is 41 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Because I'm going to segue from Bush Clinton to the House and Congress and the Republicans.
Uh-huh.
Because and then we've got to make our way to the illegal kids,
mm-hmm.
and immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's trying to put this immigration in the air that it can't go through because of the elections coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can't do anything about immigration. And if you look at who's going to be to blame, President Obama is going to do his best to make such a mess in there that no matter who gets in there next, they will spend half their life trying to clean up just anything that he's done. Because
mm-hmm.
Let me say it this way. Anybody that wants to go into the White House after this administration needs to go get their head examined.
My thing is, this is how I would approach it. I would just simply say, you know, I'm the new president. You know, I understand that the president before me made decisions that I didn't agree with, but I'm not going to stand here and live in the past. My job as president is to fix the problems that have been made, you know, that have been made before, and I will do my best to not cause more new problems, you know, to cause new problems. And I will accept full responsibility as president. I will take full responsibility to fix any problems that were made before.
But what I'm saying is, you have to understand.
I guarantee you, if someone did that, they would get elected in a second.
It's not about getting elected. I'm talking about actually being able to do it and get it done. Because you realize how much is actually just in total chaos right now, both domestically as well as foreign policy.
Yeah.
I mean, whoever walks in, unless something miraculous happens in the next 2 years, they're going to walk in with doo-doo up to their necks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. They're walking into a big mess. They're walking into a big mess.
It's bigger than a big mess.
Mm-hmm.
This man has pivotally, fundamentally changed everything America has ever stood for.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Tracy.
Yes.
What parent in their right mind would send their kid into a foreign country with the clothes on their back and nothing else? And they expect everything to be okay.
Who does that?
That's what they're doing down south.
Huh?
Those kids crossing over the border.
They're doing it. Because you have to realize we talk about the man yesterday that came on Carl Hart talking about poverty. The poverty of America is not poverty. The poverty of America is broke.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to see poverty, you go down to South America, and they will show you poverty. So even sleeping on a floor stacked on top of one another is better than where they were.
Mm-hmm.
What, Jeff? Oh, you're doing something.
Somebody said that's how immigrants have always done this.
So poverty, you know, it is – poverty is – we need to look at poverty and what they say about this. Yeah, who would send their kids? If I told you that where your child is right now, they're getting ready to kill him and put him into a military army, take him from you, and they were going to do whatever to him, you would gladly take your child and do whatever was necessary to get them to a better place. Am I correct, Eric?
That is true. But at the same time, who's going to take care of these kids? I mean,
who cares?
They
know once you get to America, all is good. You have not heard of any of those children dying, have you?
True.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the thing.
They may not have taken a bath in the last couple months, but pretty soon they're going to get a shower, some soap, deodorant, a haircut. They don't get
three hops in a cot,
no matter what, and it's better than where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
Our problem is we don't realize what they're doing and how the DREAM Act is actually fueling them coming here and making it happen.
Listen, you know, nobody should be fooled that this is being done specifically by the government, by the left, by this administration. Because they're going to try to make sure that by 2016 that they have an overwhelming amount of votes left, because they know people are ticked off now.
Mm-hmm.
They're seeing the dead economy. They're seeing nothing growing. They're seeing 317,000 people applying for benefits just this last month. And nothing is happening on the economic front about all of this. All of this play that people say, well, the economy is going to come back. No, it's not. It can't. It cannot. You cannot throw a wet blanket on a fire and expect it to burn. It's not going to dry and burn fast enough. They said they got all the jobs back that we lost in the recession. Well, you got those jobs back as part-time jobs. They're not full-time. And this is people aren't thinking.
It's not about. It's not that they're not thinking. They're not awake to sleep. Hey,
well, that I
realize. They're not awake. You have to be awake to. You know, you're dreaming. You're still asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not educating. We're not educating them enough for critical thinking.
What's ahead, though?
What do you mean, what's ahead?
You know, I'm a lot younger than you guys.
And your point is,
when I'm your age,
you're in trouble.
You think so?
If we keep on going the way that we're going, absolutely. The life as I know it, you will not have that opportunity. Because
for some reason,
we're almost missing it ourselves.
For some reason, I feel like 40 years down the road, I mean, and it's the same. Everyone's 40 years ago, people said, oh, and you know, 40 years from now, it's going to be this, this, and that. Something tells me everything's going to be all right, and I think everything's going to be the same. I think there's going to be change, but I think there's going to be, I think it's going to be mostly the same.
But everything, it's going to be okay, maybe. The problem is America is eroding the life that America is, and no one likes change. But the changes that are happening right now is changing the fundamental structure of what America is supposed to be and how it's designed. Mm-hmm. And so instead of you having all the freedoms that you have today, you're right now, the thought police are telling you you can't think what you choose. And that's where it becomes scary.
Mm-hmm. 40 years from now, I'll be 58 years old.
That's what I'm saying.
Right, what will that be like?
And 40 years from now, I'll be 98. I hope I'm dead, because if not, they're going to kill me. Unless I have great quality of life and I don't need Obamacare or the Affordable Health Care Act.
Mm-hmm. Could it be worse, though?
Yes.
Could it be a lot worse?
Yes.
Because that's another thing.
Because
Jeff and I talked about this last Friday.
Yes,
it
can be
it
very
could
be
a
worse.
Lot worse than
it can.
Worse.
It can be a lot worse because you could have a foreign. We take our freedoms for granted. There are people over in the Middle East that would love to come here and overthrow the American government mm-hmm. and turn it into a conquest mm-hmm. of Sharia law.
But Tracy.
Yes, Stanley.
The problem I'm hearing you, yeah, we take our freedom for granted, but you make it sound like other countries who are civilized, France, Germany, Canada, to name some few, don't have freedom, the same freedom that we do.
They
have the
they
same
don't.
Freedom that we
no,
what
they don't.
Freedom that they, what freedom that
that's
they
just,
don't have that we do.
That's just it.
What freedom?
I'm
going to
tell you. Stanley, I'm going to tell you. We have the right to assemble. We have the right to speak. We have the right mm-hmm. of freedom of speech. And we have the right to choose. And where you fail to realize. Hold on. You fail to realize. No,
wait.
You asked me the question. And you fail to realize that if we are in America and we have the best quality of life, than any other country in
whoa,
the world.
Whoa, you're stating a lot of stuff without substance. First of all, the other countries have the right. This Canada has the right to assemble. They assemble many times
no.
things that they don't. Yes, they
no,
do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They assemble maybe last year. They assemble because basically people in Tibet.
No.
Wait. No, let me finish because you don't know what you're talking. I have family over there. They assembled last year because people in Quebec wanted to have free education. They thought that the education was too expensive. So they assembled and they voiced their voice in the street 2 years, or not last year, the year before. You could do the research. And they did what we did. They went to the street and voted their disgrace and voted that they say they were not happy. The whole people were coming in the street and doing that. So I do not agree when you're saying they
family.
Don't have that. Right?
But I think that Tracy's not talking about places like Canada and France. Are you referring to, you know, like the Middle East? Are
no,
you...
I'm talking about across the globe. One, we own our
that's
own
what I,
land.
That's what she's saying. Across
we're
the globe.
We're the only country that you own your own land.
We own our own minerals under our land.
Uh-huh.
Hold on. They have the right. You said last year they assembled. When I say we have the right to assemble, we assemble in groups that as we choose.
They
we
did
have
the
right
same
to
thing. Wait.
Family,
they the
do
same
not.
Thing.
Family. But they do not
they
have
the
right to freedom.
Sorry, Nancy,
they do not have the right to freedom of speech the same way that you
yes,
do in America.
Do.
But
yes, they do.
No, they don't. No.
Yes, they
no,
do.
They don't.
Yes,
they,
they
don't.
Do. Based on what? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They have the same
no, they
freedom
don't.
Of based on what? Based on telling
listen,
me the thing that
family,
you don't,
they do
you don't
not
have
the
right.
Same freedom. They do not have the same freedom of speech. And as a matter of fact,
tell me
in America,
based on
and,
what?
Stanley, let
based
me finish. And as a, and as right now, you are losing your freedom of speech also. I have the right to turn these mics off and say whatever I choose to Jeff
mm-hmm.
and AJ in this room.
Mm-hmm.
In France,
and,
they don't have
and,
the same
and,
liberty.
And wait, you think Canada don't have the same liberty? You think that yeah. Canada
well, yeah,
don't
yeah.
have... Wait. Are you telling me that you went to Canada and you listened to those shows and said, oh, let's do something controversial?
Tell me this. Listen, the Canadians that I know, outside of us being so very, very militant as Americans, they are very, very... they come here to live here because of the freedoms that we have here.
No, they come here to live here because of the tax that they have compared to yours. We have the less tax compared to theirs. They get taxed to the bazoo, and they can't have the money that they earn and everything. That's why they go to United States and look.
Stanley, you believe in high taxes and redistributing the wealth. I mean, isn't that bad?
No, I know, but a lot of Canadians don't believe in that, and they do. They work hard, and they say, look, I ain't going to pay 90% of my money to the government, so I'm going to go to United States, which is better. It's not about the freedom. When you're talking about freedom, I would dare you to compare the freedom
of
Canada.
Isn't that greedy, though? Stanley, aren't they greedy? Shouldn't they want to give their money, those rich people trying to come down here and live in America? That's selfish, don't you think?
No, it's up to you. If you're a Canadian, you feel that way. I understand that if they feel that way and everything, they have the right to do what they have to do. But when Tracy is basically saying Canada don't have the same freedom as us, I'm like debating out in based
but
on
you
what?
Said, now, hold on. You said France at first, and then you switched to Canada. There's two different places.
No, France, Canada. Okay, let's say Canada. Let's not go over France. Let's go to Canada, which are our neighbor.
Go
they
ahead.
We have the same freedom
hold
as
on.
Us.
AJ, hold on. Go ahead, AJ.
There are mixed opinions about Canada and if they have more free. I think it's based on your opinion, basically, of because I'm seeing articles right now. Some people are saying, yeah, Canada has way more freedom than Americans do. Some are saying, no way, they do not. We have more freedoms than they do. You know, they can
smoke pot if they want to.
Same-sex marriages, stuff like that.
They've got all that. But as far as being able to speak out how I feel out in public and making protests, you cannot do. As a matter of fact, in Canada right now,
you can't even start a new church
if you want to.
I think it's a matter of opinion.
Without getting permission from the government.
Wait. You can. You have the right to do that. You could go protest.
If you get permission from the government.
No, you don't need permission from the government. You just need to go to the street and have the people doing whatever you want to do, and you can protest against the government. You do not need
permission. Hey, listen. We're going way too far with this because, once again, the United States, even right now, up under this totalitarian type of government here, is... the freest place on the planet.
Based on everything, Stanley.
Period. We are free to start a business. Be quiet.
Okay.
Stanley,
and wait. If you're going
we
to
are free to start a business
free.
Here, you're not.
And
okay, we're free to start businesses here. We're free to speak out if they overtax us. We are free to assemble and say, right now you are, unless you get hit with a hate crimes law, because if I get out here and I say anything against homosexuality or if I say anything against Muslims, I am now guilty of hate speech. That's part of the thing that you have lost over the last 6 years that you never lost before in America. Those are things that they're closing in on. And you cannot say our government is too big because just like that crazy couple that killed themselves a couple days ago, guess what they did with that? The network news come on and say, and here it is. They're trying to figure out why they had this anti-government anti-government sentiment as so many other people do. That had nothing to do with so many other people. These two crazy folk is crazy. And that's all it was. Yeah.
Jeff. You just said they. If you're saying, let's say your first point, which is we have the right to have free business. They have the right to have free business also.
Who does?
Canada. Well, I'm just taking your example, Canada. I'm going point to point to what you're saying. They have. Do they have Canada have the right to have a free business? Yes, they do.
Stanley, the measurements.
No,
of
I'm going
business.
To the point. No, Jeff. I'm not going
to belabor the point too much longer. But the point is, we can agree to disagree. But in Canada, the process of starting a business in Canada and the process of starting a business in America is totally two different processes.
Yeah, I agree. But don't act like I agree
and
with you.
In America, if you want, right now, they're trying to take away that you can't start a bake sale. So you have to understand, at one time, if you wanted to have a lemonade shack at the end of your street, you could do that. Mm-hmm. And right now, through regulations and through what's going on, they don't want you to have a lemonade stand. They don't want you to have a bake sale. They don't want you to drink pop that's too big. They don't want you to do this. You are losing your freedoms, not because it's not bad for you, but I have the right to eat bad if I choose to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but if you have
that
the right to choose, the,
and
yeah,
in other countries, in other countries, that's how Stanley and in other countries, that's how they do it. So what we are doing is we are becoming like everyone else.
We're copying them.
And what I'm saying is I like the right to do what I want.
Yeah, but you have to go to the consequence of what you're doing. If you're eating wrong.
That's my business.
No,
if I decide to take a and put it to my head and blow my brains out, that's my business. But the problem is I do not have the right for the government to tell me that I can't own my own firearm in my own house to blow my own brains out.
Wow. Yeah. So wow.
If you don't, Stanley, if you got a problem with what I eat in my refrigerator, then I want you to go to the grocery store. You pay for the food every single week. If not, be quiet.
But Eric, that's the point. That's why we got more people on welfare now paying for your food, so they can choose what you eat. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we're missing the whole sum total of this. They want us to all be under government control so that they can control the American electorate one person at a time. And it's happening slowly but surely. I'll be right back.
Taiwan is the freest place to start a business.
Wow. So you could choose to have bad food and everything, but don't be the consequence of having cancer, having heart attack, and don't start crying on people if you have all those choices.
I'm not asking for your sympathy, Stanley.
No, but don't ask me to pay for you. Don't ask me.
Stanley, I got insurance, buddy. And you ain't paying for it.
Yeah, don't ask me to pay for you. Don't ask me to do this. If you want to be responsible.
My will's made out. My wife has to do what I want when I die. So don't worry about it, Stanley.
So I do not agree with everybody acting like, oh, we're free in this and other country. You make it sound like other country or civilized or we're dictators. They're not with dictators. They're free also. They have the same freedom as us. They have even a constitution in their country. So I'm trying to see what's the freedom that we have that they don't have.
I think I think what she's saying is opportunity. Hold on, we've been listening. I hadn't said much all day, but
go ahead.
Sit up here and act like America, when people are, I mean, America economically has been the economic leader for the last, 70, 80, 100 years, and to see people, that's why if there's not economic opportunity, then people wouldn't be dying to try to get here. So economically, America is probably something that they're probably trying to get to. But freedom-wise, you may have freedom, but you may not have the same opportunity as someone else in another country, even though you may have freedom.
Because the freedom part, I have it. I go to Canada sometimes, and I don't see no difference.
You got Russian and Chinese billionaires, too, but, I mean, it's hard as hell to go to Russia and try to become a billionaire. In America, it's a lot easier. And these people over in America are just, a lot of them just don't care. They're just comfortable. And these foreigners are coming over here and taking over, and they're making money. They're making millions because they see it. And I was just talking to a guy from Grenada yesterday. He sees opportunity. That's what they're looking at.
I agree. There's opportunity, but there's opportunity.
It's easy to be a millionaire in America. Way harder. It's harder to be one in Ethiopia. I'm in Ethiopia.
I agree, but it's easy to
gotta
be a millionaire. I agree with you. But this freedom thing, we're more free than other countries, really? Based on what? Hello?
Wow, what happened to everybody?
Hello, Diva.
Hello.
Yeah. Did you believe that, like Tracy's saying, that United States has more freedom compared to the rest of the world and things like that? I'm like...
Hey, Diva.
Oh, yes.
Are you coming down?
In a way, she has a point. There is no other opportunities like
Hello?
You'll find here in America.
Hello?
Because we put a high price on individualized freedoms, even if those individualized freedoms are based in stupidity, like allowing someone to have a gun in their house so they could blow their brains out. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But go ahead, South Carolina.
Hey, Diva, are you coming this way or what?
I'm not sure anymore. I've been under the weather.
Well, there's no better way to get from under the weather than to come down to sunny South Cackalack.
I don't know.
Look, come down here and get your little tan.
I don't need no tan.
Yes, you do.
No, I do not. Oh.
Get the little South Carolina sunshine. Yep.
Y'all sunshine is too hot for me.
Well, this gets good. You can handle it.
Diva.
What?
So before, when we were into the last commercial, you said that if a man cheats one time with his wife, you truly believe that's because he has a problem in the marriage?
Yeah. A happily married man, a man who is happy in his relationship, is not going to slip up like that.
Wait. If you tell a man, didn't you see the movie with Will Smith when he said, and he was in the car, and his wife said, and she said, look, I love you very much. You are the love of my life. But I'm sorry to say, if Janet Jackson asked me tomorrow to do something with her, I would. You think guys, a lot
Will
of guys
Smith
would.
And, hold on, that was a movie. Dude, that was a movie, really?
A lot of guys could relate to that. You make it sound like as soon as you're married,
Eric.
You put a man to the
Diva,
woman
I,
of his dream.
I know, Diva. Diva, I know. I'm not, that's why I'm not
I'm just
quiet.
Saying,
I'm
if,
not
if
saying
you
anything.
Really, truly are at risk of losing your wife, the wife you love so much for somebody like just to have a one night with Janet Jackson, how many married men really going to take it?
You'll be surprised.
No.
That is
nasty
to me.
No.
She done got kind of old now, too. I don't know. Maybe 20 years ago. But
no, not Janet Jackson. I'm talking about the woman of his dream. Every guy has a woman of his dream, and you confront her with that woman, and that woman gives you, like, your wife will never find out.
With me and my wife joke all the time, Stanley. My wife, when she jokes about her dream, man, is Tyrese Gibson. You know, from the Fast and Furious movies.
Joking about it and actually carrying it out are two different things.
But you would be surprised if a lot of people would carry it out, even if they're married, even if they're happy marriage. Trust me not.
I can't see it. When I say happy marriage, I'm talking about, I just can't, I cannot see a man who is happily getting everything that he wants from his wife and is going to mess and not having any problems. But is willing to risk losing all that for a one-night stand with so-called one of his dreams. That is straight stupidity.
Whoa, but you have to understand, that is the difference
that
between
women and men. That's
dumb
as hell.
That's the difference between
men
and men.
I guess y'all dumb then.
Wait.
I stepped all over your toes, girl.
he cheated because he could. He's a millionaire and he could. That's the only thing you can cheat.
But the fact was, he wasn't all that happy. He even said they were spending a lot of time apart. They were having their issues. Don't think just because he has a very beautiful woman and they're in a good, they seemingly in a good relationship, that it's all good.
It
was not all
like,
good. That's allowed that crack for him to do what he did.
But Diva, you make it sound like if you're Kobe Bryant or one of those athlete and women are running amok, coming to your hotel. Not
Kobe Bryant wasn't happy in his marriage either. That's why he was a serial cheater.
Okay, so all those people are serial cheaters, really?
He was a serial cheater.
Wow.
On his wife.
Wow.
That was not I love Kobe. He's my favorite player.
You women
besides
make
MJ,
laugh,
but that was not the first time he cheated on his wife. He always said he had indiscretions. This was the first time he got called out on it.
What about Tiger Woods?
Yeah, and you make me laugh.
Tiger Woods was a serial cheater, too. He was not happy with his wife.
He loved his wife.
Mm-hmm. Saying that you love your wife does not mean you are happy in your marriage. Just because you don't want to leave does not mean you're happy. Some people tend to stay where, for whatever reason, they stay even though they're not happy. They love the person even though they're not happy. None of that connotates to happiness.
So if you're happy and you're cheating one time, that means you are not happy.
If you cheat, name one man who was happy and cheated one time.
No, there's many men who cheated that you will never find out. There's many women who cheated and you'll never find out.
Protesters are assembling for the first execution of a gangster rapper at the stroke of midnight. The warden will escort Mr. Dog.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I'm sitting here with Jeff and AJ. We've got some people in the queue. It's open mic today. We started talking about immigration. I had to go to break because, you know, Eric Cantor lost. And I have my own feelings about why he lost. I think it had more to do, not necessarily with immigration and the Tea Party, but arrogance and his lack of running.
Yeah, I hear you.
He looked at the polls and said, okay, I got an opponent. He didn't run scared, and he didn't run unopposed, and he didn't realize that he had a viable candidate in the race, and it was a low turnout. And if you do not get your vote out and you do not stay in your district, he was out campaigning for the Speaker of the House and raising money for other people to get him back, to get him to the Speaker, and he lost the seat that would make him Speaker, so now he's going home.
Don't forget that they beat him up with the immigration thing, though. That was in the commercial.
Yes. They beat him up.
I think it was. I agree with you that it was. He definitely did not run scared. He thought he had it in his pocket.
And I also will say this: the news coming out about the young kids coming in on the DREAM Act and being detainees came out the same day. Did not help him. And that makes sense. But it was not only because the Republicans need to walk away from immigration.
No. I mean, you know, he's been acting as a rhino in some instances, and that's why people are saying, you know, the true conservatives that sat home last time want to get back in the race, and they're sick of getting these little namby-pamby, milquetoast, weak-spine type of people, which I don't think Cantor is necessarily weak spine.
But I think it's attitude, because they say that he would show up at a function,
right,
with all of his entourage and all of his bodyguards, and he came in there like he was president of America instead of walking in like he was one of them. So he had gone far beyond his constituents.
The man that would be
a wannabe.
Speaker.
Yeah.
Wannabe.
He fell down on his face.
Yeah.
Oh, who that? Local call, your mic is on.
Yeah,
what, Steve?
I didn't explain myself well when I was talking about what Eisenhower was talking about.
Then you need to hurry up, speak fast, and get it out and get it in so we can move on.
Well, and then plus y'all were talking about integration, too. What I meant is that it really has nothing to do with the military itself. It's really that those who make weapons for the military, they're the ones who, I guess, dictate to the military and our own government. And I think that a lot of our politicians, as well as the President of the United States, have been bought off by these individuals and stuff like that.
Okay.
So you think
the reason why we're at war is because we've been paid to go to war, and so that's why we go. Is that what you're saying?
No, I think that the military complex industrialists, They have a invested interest, and plus, it has something to do with, you know, as they were saying, oil is the main reason. And of course, in Afghanistan, remember that.
So, do you think we ought to go? Should we stay? What should we do now? Because right now we are.
I think that personally, you know, it's the Bible says we reap what we sow. In the United States, if those countries come back to do harm to us, then we brought it on ourselves because we probably should have never been over there in the first place. I guess we went over there because we had an invested interest, and that was oil. And at the time, we probably needed that oil because, you know, to we use oil for a lot of different things, for cars.
We never use their oil, though, Steve. That's the problem. That
wasn't
our...
They ship that oil here
anymore. No.
I mean, but in the past.
No, it never came. No, not here. It didn't come here. But here's the problem. You're forgetting what happened. You're forgetting that there was a 10-year war between Iran and Iraq, and that's where our interest came into being. We were stabilizing the region so that the oil would flow. Notice that the oil jumped up to $106 a barrel, up from $90-something dollars a barrel, right when this craziness happened over here now. That's the only reason why Obama has to do something about this.
440, your mic is on.
He got you on hold. Somebody got you on hold. That's
Stanley.
I'm sorry.
Hey. Yes, I'm here. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
It's Friday the 13th. The full moon's out, and I'm out.
That's a combination, isn't it?
It's all good. It's all good. Yep. Been to a couple of my daughter's track meets. Going to have a barbecue this weekend.
Is this the one I'm invited to?
I love your commercial. It reminds me of when I was dating when I was younger. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? You know, it's just too much.
What are you?
What commercial is that? I know.
Tommy Staples.
Howdy, howdy.
Oh.
Howdy, howdy.
I'm so excited.
That's Tommy Staples.
Okay.
You don't even listen to your own commercials. What's up with that?
I'm busy.
Hey, it's Friday. It's all serious. You guys are trying to solve everything, and it's like, you got to kick back. It's Friday.
Okay.
Hey, I've said that forever. Last Friday, I said my nickname should be the Peacemaker because Jeff was going crazy, and I said, Jeff, why can't we all just get along? Let's all just enjoy Friday. Remember that?
Okay.
What
are we going to do to enjoy Friday? Because I know Jeff was going off. I know.
I didn't go off.
Jeff,
I really didn't go off.
I was very calm.
Last Thursday, you were going off, too, because I told Jeff, I said, Jeff, you're going off crazy.
I didn't go off last Friday, last Thursday. I don't even remember last Thursday.
Neither do I.
I don't even remember why.
What's that?
I got to ask you a question, and tell me if you don't agree. Everybody on here knows about basketball. I equate Canada as being on a basketball team, but they're way at the end of the bench. Who gives a crap about the guys on the end of the bench? They don't contribute anything. It's over.
Fine.
Let's
Fine
not
writers.
Talk about Canada.
but you know what? 440. I was gonna hit Stanley with what it says about on the business page to start a business. It tells you starting a business in Canada may seem overwhelming at first. There are just so many things to do, and I just incorporated a business here in last month, right? And when I incorporated the business, I filled out an application, set my little money down there, and I incorporated, and I got the corporation papers back within 30 days. Listen. This is the freest place on the globe.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just go somewhere and start a business anywhere else in the world like this.
Not as free
not
as
like
America. See, this is the issue. Yeah, you can go anywhere else in the world and you can do some other things. But in America, you can just say, ooh, I think I want to name it ABC. And I go and I fill out a piece of paper on the Internet. I send my $125 to the Secretary of State or wherever you send
right,
it in your
Secretary
state. And I'm going, well, I'm a business. I go online, IRS. I got an EIN. I got a bank account. It's over and it's done with. But no, I can't do that in other countries.
And in our country, look what it says for us.
Congratulations.
No, wait, do that part.
Quick start for your business entity.
Quick start. You can get a business here fast. You can't
do
that.
You can't. And
every place.
As a matter of fact, in I believe it's in Canada right now, you cannot start another Christian church without getting permission from the government.
Probably.
You have because they said you have too many. It's either Canada or England, one of the two. But we
might be England.
We take some of that crazy stuff for granted. You want to go down and you want to, you know, you want to start a church of what's happening now, you go down there and say, I'm church of what's happening now. You stand on the corner, you start preaching. You can't do that in other parts of the world.
Yeah.
Outside,
and, you
and
know,
I'm not talking about just the Middle East.
And you know, this is the only country you can go down the street and blow kisses at Amish girls and nothing happens.
That's not true.
Oh, please.
That's not true.
You might get your
beard cut off.
Wait a minute.
I live in Amish country. Trust me. I know.
I'm trying to tell you, they're the nicest people in the world, but you mess around and somebody
cross their girl.
Somebody's going to die.
They all know me. Believe me. Do you guys not know me? They know me.
Oh, wow. I know. A lot of them know me, too.
No, it's all good. It's all good here. They know
it's
me.
All good.
It's all
Nibish
good. Do. I want to say something so bad, but I'm going to hold off on that one.
Yes.
I may get censored. Do you guys?
Hey, don't be an Oshalo.
Nah, I know you're swearing at me. What?
I mean,
you can't say that. You cannot say that to me.
Hey man, that's what they tell me.
I know.
I might even be back out doing something with some Amish people pretty soon too. But I enjoyed working with the guys. I mean, they're very different and quirky, but they're smart. I mean, they're smart with survival and things like that. Oh my God. I loved it. They took me back where they make maple syrup, and I watched them how they were tapping the trees, and then they get this big tub and boil it down right on the 534 out there.
I used to do that.
Yeah, in Aaron's neck of the woods.
I grew up out here. I used to do that. I know all about that. 534, we're in Mesopotamia.
Yeah, Mespo, right.
Whoa, I live in the next town over.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm
they
out
had
here
Mespo.
All the time.
They
my
had
my grandparents live out in Mespo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking about all this stuff, but
I know.
But it's all good.
But you know what?
Good.
You needed. I provided the break for you guys. I think you should thank me.
Nobody else across the country knows what the heck we're talking about.
I know. That's okay.
That's okay. They need to learn.
Hey, this is local and world news, not just
absolutely
world.
And the Amish actually, you know, they keep my me at the gym.
They do what?
They keep me at the gym.
I'll tell you what.
The Amish keep you at the gym.
Have you been to the Amish market?
Oh.
I'll tell you what. The Amish, they love the McDonald's that I work at.
They do.
Oh, they love it.
They love McDonald's.
They love McDonald's.
They like the shop.
Yep.
I found that out.
I'm a teenager. I needed a summer job. I worked at McDonald's, and they said when I went in for my orientation, they said, "Now, be prepared for the Amish."
Can I ask you a question?
They will come in. Yeah, what?
You work for McDonald's?
Yes.
Do you think that you should earn $15 an hour?
No, I don't need. I'm a teenager. I don't. I mean, that'd be nice, but I that's something I don't deserve at my age. Is $15 an hour?
No. Do you think that people at McDonald's should be paid $15 an hour? Why not? You work at McDonald's.
Yeah, I work at McDonald's, but that, I mean, it's complicated, I guess. It's just that our full-time, you know, the only people that are full-time at McDonald's are managers. No one has a full-time job at the McDonald's that I work for. The only people that get full-time are managers. So why should you get paid $15 an hour if you're not even working a full-time job? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Hey, Diva.
Oh, now you want to call me up?
We were commenting all the time at little quirks here and there.
I didn't hear.
I did.
I didn't hear.
You had her. So
I've been on this line for 57 minutes.
I didn't know.
Your line was open.
You should have said something. Usually I hear squeaky in the back and I pull you up, but I didn't hear squeaky. So, Tiva, do you think that the children coming over with immigrants that are immigrants, and you think we ought to keep them here and allow them to mainstream into the American lifestyle?
No, send them back.
Why do you think we ought to send them back?
Because they're here. They're coming here illegally. Send them back.
So do
well,
you,
he's not going to.
Oh, he's got you, Jeff.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
Watch this one.
She's got to send him back.
I hope you're right, and I'm wrong on this. I certainly hope so. But my point is, this is being done on purpose. Because
what's being done on purpose?
They are broadcasting. They are broadcasting in Central America that our borders are open. They have this false assumption that because of the DREAM Act, that it applies to them. But it doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't?
It doesn't. The DREAM Act is for people who have already been here, who have already basically assimilated into our society. They're already working or they're going to school. Just stepping over the border does not mean you are going to be a recipient of the benefits of the DREAM Act.
So you think we are going to send them
back? What do you call Mexicans? What do you call Mexicans? They're doing that every day.
And I hear the conditions down there are pretty deplorable as well. I mean, there's like porta potties are overflowing. It's just there's nowhere to put people.
That's true.
Well, it was what, 45 between in 2 weeks? Was it 45,000 people, 45,000 children?
Saying
that number's going to reach up to, it's going to reach up to 60,000?
Do you know how much it costs for us to deport those children back?
So what? Do we just leave them, let them stay and let their parents come over?
No, I don't think so, but, you know.
You would have to ask the president that one.
I just don't see where America is paying attention.
I mean, I think our immigration process needs to be fixed. It shouldn't take 13 years to become a legalized citizen. It shouldn't take a lot of red tape to obtain a visa, especially if they're going to come over here and work and pay taxes. I think a higher tax should be placed on them. Just coming over here and taking advantage of our resources that you didn't pay and put in, nobody in your family has done so. No, I don't agree with that.
So what did you think about cancer losing?
I'm mixed feelings about it because I don't understand why people are calling cancer a rhino. He is not a rhino. That dude has been the worst.
Name it.
The most red
name
person
it. Name
in
it.
The house. He has blocked every – he has been behind, essential to blocking just about every policy or agenda that President Obama has wanted. He has been the loudest voice against most of President Obama's policies. And he is not
find
a rhino.
The
deal about Congress
–
hold on. The deal about Congress is it's not about being an obstructionist. It's about, okay, we're not going to allow you to push your agenda completely on us, but we are going to come to some type of agreement where we can have a compromise and we can get something done. You got, Jeff, it seems like you and the Tea Party just want an our way or no way in the House of Representatives, in Congress,
once,
and it should never
again,
be like that.
Hold on. Once again, saying goofy things to prove a record, I am not Tea Party. I agree with some things of Tea Party, but I am not Tea Party, and no, I don't want it all my way and none the other. There is no compromise going on at this particular time, and that's because they have not accepted any of the things that we sent. We still have 14 bills sitting on Harry Reid's desk for jobs bills and 12 VA restructuring bills, and none of those things saw the light of day from Harry Reid's desk. Okay, so
what
there's
does that
no
have
comprom-
to do with Cantor being a rhino?
Once again, tell me where you see Cantor being all conservative. That's what I want.
Can I tell you what
let's see.
Yeah, hold on,
he
440, go ahead, what
of...
do you think? Hold on, Diva. 440, what do you think?
I, this is what I think. I've seen the guy, and, all right, I'm a Republican, but I'll say this. Cantor is a smarmy punk, and I'm glad that he got clobbered. Plain and simple.
That's what I'm talking about.
He's a power grabber, smarmy punk. And
I
have to
disagree with that.
All right, and that's all he is. And it has nothing to do with politics, and he don't care what side he's on as long as it goes his way. And
that's why you have the sound bite.
It is, and that's what I think.
Is it just me, or does he look like one of the guys from Ghostbusters? I just always get that. What's the real nerdy one?
He's a snotty punk.
Yeah,
that's what he is.
Eeyore.
He's a snotty punk.
Talking about.
That's
he just looked like the nerdy guy from Ghostbusters. And the way he talked.
Yeah, the one with the real deep voice.
Yeah. Some of the things that are going on, like I said, you know, he's not that conservative, and he comes out at the same time as George Bush's father and all those times, which is how he gained his power in Congress. But the thing is you have to understand it for us. You call us far right a lot of times, and we're the ones, the things that we used to do are the things that were in place when this country was made great, when we had money, when we had influence in the world. Now, true enough, we cannot be the world's policemen in all aspects, and we're not. But where we have our interest at, we are. And that's why we are over in the Middle East, because there's a vested interest in having power be balanced there, which is totally gone just about right now. The only place you have now is possibly the United Arab Emirates, one other country, Saudi Arabia, and Israel.
Mike, your mic is on. I am, I'm going to take a break in just a second, but, you know, when I look at what's going on here, when I look at Cantor, like I said, I believe he lost because of his arrogance, more so than immigration. Immigration may have played into it. But if you don't have a relationship with your district, you know, they can pile on a whole lot of stuff, because he has become he's becoming the poster boy for elitism. And that was just not a good view of his district.
He helped gerrymander that district to make it a safe race for himself. But what he failed to realize is, you still have to go back and cater to your constituents, have a relationship with them.
Democrats, but you know what?
Not here, they don't. Anyway.
But I will say this. It should be a lesson to all, because people think that they're invincible, and they're not, whether they be Democrat or Republican. So you need to call up your congressman and let him know that even though he's so safe, if he's not careful, if the right one steps up,
that's right,
he will not be as safe as he thinks.
Right. Everyone should call the congressman today and say, I have only one word to tell you, Cantor, and give him the warning.
Cantor's
real
problem,
Tracy, was he didn't stay home. He didn't stay home. He was touring the country with the fat cats because he wanted to be the next Speaker of the House. So
that's
he wasn't
he
paying
did.
Attention to his district.
And immigration, and he made some bad choices. He had an organ. They say that the Tea Party in Virginia is one of the most organized Tea Parties.
But you know what? They didn't really. The Tea Party didn't have much to do with him.
That's what they say.
So I'm just saying.
But then you had Mark Levine, and you had Lori Ingram coming in there with him.
It sure did.
Yeah.
And so you got to ask the question: What did Cantor do to those two to make them come out and take a trip to his district?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say the Brat won because he got the vote out. There was only 3,000 votes cast in this whole thing. And Brat won because he got his vote out. Cantor was too busy playing superstar. He wasn't paying attention.
No.
He thought he had a lock on.
Does anybody, 68,000 if I'm not mistaken, but does anybody realize that this man was
in Washington, D.C. at a fundraiser on Election Day.
Yeah.
I mean, he was doing the Mahoning County. I'll be right back here listening to you.
Oh, you're bad. You're bad.
That was funny.
Yeah. You know, Diva, if you look at State of the Union messages of the different presidents, and you look at what the attorney generals are doing, what legislation was in front of the Congresses, in the last 50 years since John Kennedy was president and Bobby Kennedy was attorney general, the roles of the two parties have completely flipped. It was the Democrats bashing unions and trying to tear them apart because they were corrupt and not taking care of the little guy, and today it's the Republicans bashing the unions.
We know that. I've been saying the roles of the roles within the last 40-plus years
Have flipped.
Have changed. The parties have completely flipped.
Yeah, and that's why anybody to claim they have a party loyalty, like people say, I always buy Chevys because my grandfather bought a Chevy. You know, well, that's as stupid as saying that because. You know, someday they're going to stop manufacturing Chevys, maybe, and then what are you going to do, hold the buying Chevy, old, worn-out Chevys? You know, and that's what it is with political affiliations. You got to look at the issues, and you got to vote. You got to stop voting your conscience and start voting your intelligence. Because conscience can be manipulated, as all good women know, when dealing with their man. So, got to vote your intelligence, not your conscience. So, I'm having a good Friday, Diva. How about you, sweetheart?
I'm still trying to figure out if a man is happy in his relationship, will he cheat?
No, Amherst.
No.
Speak like a woman that's in her 30s. You speak like a woman that's in her 30s. Women in their 20s don't talk like that.
What do you mean women in their 20s don't talk like that?
No,
women in their 20s don't really know any better.
Right.
It's not that they don't know any better. They don't have any baggage.
No, women in their 20s aren't smart enough to even formulate the question. That's why they go, well, maybe I can hold on to him if I get pregnant.
He's not happy because he stepped out when they had a bad rough patch in their relationship. Okay.
Well, then that's exactly what
you said. If you're having a rough patch in your relationship, are you happy in that moment? Are you
don't know. No, what I'm saying is in a relationship, you don't know what a woman says, what the intricacies of that relationship is. So to sit up there and judge that situation between him and Gabrielle because he had a child is really kind of...
I did not judge
the
situation. I just
basically said he's a happy man.
He's been at home. Okay, you said he was sitting at home happy with Gabby, and that's all. And I'm telling you, and I just simply said he wasn't all that happy. If he is all that happy, he wouldn't have had a baby on her. That's the facts of the matter.
What's his name, Diva?
We're
going
to
go beat him up. We're going to go beat him up, Diva. What's his name?
Beat him up? I don't dislike Dwayne Wade because he cheated on her. I'm not saying he's a bad guy.
Somebody hurt you. Somebody hurt you, and I hear it. So what happened?
Nobody hurt. What are you talking about?
You sound bitter. You bitter. You can't
do
this to a man unhappy.
You can't. How do I sound bitter? Because I'm having. I said
something good about the man. I said he's happy. He's gaining weight.
But what you said was not factually correct. Just because you said something good about him, so somebody can't come back.
They about to get married next month. They not happy. He don't love her. He don't want her. So why are they getting married then?
I didn't say any. You know what? This is your problem, Alabama. You take an inch and you turn it into 3 miles.
No,
why are you
the one saying the man happy? And you, why he happy when he had a baby?
I just basically said he wasn't.
13 months ago, he slept with somebody, so he ain't happy with her now and want to marry her.
Wasn't happy. Does not mean they are happy.
Oh, you're right, but what I'm saying is, if I say the man happy, obviously
sir,
I don't run with
so
you.
Sir,
you're
so upset about what I said about their relationship. You
I can't believe you actually brought this up. I went and had a done phone interview and everything. Come back, you still talking about it. That's how I know you better.
Yeah, because I want to know. I'm not talking about Dwayne Wade or Gabby.
No.
I'm talking about in general. If a man is happy in his relationship, will he cheat? I think
online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
They say life is what you make it. No matter what it takes, I'ma take it. In the meantime, gotta fake it. Free from the fallacies, overstand that. Knowledge is power, create your own reality. Shape your own destiny through your density. It's in the mind, be in tune with your entity. Need to know about your origins, about your past. Yes, we're brown skin, let's be proud that we're dark. And that's the real, every word I spit is from the heart. The wrong point, every single solitary dart. And that's sharp as it hits you in your eardrum. Sparking thoughts in your mind, I'm number one. Bright as the sun, I'm like air to your lung. A necessity, you get where I'm coming from. In my mind, these are words that I collated. Hence the reason why X is so creative. E through develop and improve your mind. Unite my people in these days and times. Let's strive to rise like it's the final hour. The fact of the matter is, knowledge is the power. E through develop and improve your mind.
Hey, we're back, and you listen to Tracy and Friends. I know it's been a rap day, huh? Maybe I'll go somewhere a little light.
Coke was a thing then when she first tried. It was once a blue moon and two a blue sky.
What are you talking about?
Now she wondering who else wants to
get... What are you talking about?
Go by, because she ain't got no money and she wants to get high.
Jeff hears some music, and next thing he just go off on his own.
Sounds familiar.
The thing that he did was happy.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to pull over. I would have wrecked Tracy.
I heard about Happy, that he did Happy down in Columbus. People came to me and said, your co-host did a crappy this morning.
Oh, my.
It's finished now.
Literally, I pulled off the side of the road. I was coming down 224 out of Canfield, and I just
got to get with him after the show so he can get it right.
Yeah, we're going to do it right.
Because by next week, he needs to have it up and going, and we're going to put it out there and see if he can make some money on it. It don't make no sense, because he should be on Jay Leno. He should be on
CNN. It's good.
It's good. You know, I'm not a parody kind of girl.
Oh, man, I'm a parody guy all day. Cause I can do those like in a moment's notice. I can write a whole parody on any song. When we do stuff like happy birthdays and stuff in the band, I make up songs right on the spot or make up raps on the spot.
Would you do me a favor then?
Yeah.
Would you do me a parody right now?
Mm-hmm.
I'll put you on the spot.
Okay.
On the Brown.
Okay, I can't do that.
Wait a minute. I'm a Brown fan.
Yeah.
I want to hear the story.
I don't even like football, so I can't tell you. I'm only a baseball fan.
Last week, I got a phone call. I got an email to go up to Cleveland about the 2016
mm-hmm.
convention of the RNC coming to Cleveland.
So now you're a Browns fan.
And the Browns came, and Mayor Jackson came. And he brought all the department heads. And so I got to stick with the Cleveland people and the Browns.
Yeah, that's a decision. I understand that. I respect that.
That's a decision to make.
I respect that. My brother's in sales, Phil.
Correct.
And yeah. I've lived in Chicago. And when I was in Chicago, I was a Bears fan. Had to. Because if you go in on a Monday and the Bears had lost on Sunday, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad for sales. So I appreciate that.
So I gotta stick with the home team,
right?
Because we're getting to bring this convention here, and I'm gonna be a Brown and brown and orange. Orange is my favorite color, but we're gonna be in brown and orange just because we're gonna bring the convention. It's gonna be brown, orange, red, white, and blue.
Great.
Red and white, because I'm a Cleveland. Oh, I'm
gonna go with red and blue
I gotta do red and blue because I'm an Indian fan.
You're talking about the Browns and Cleveland and Chicago, look, you got to give us some respect down here in South Cackalack.
Because we're not trying to have a convention down there.
Carolina Panthers, blue and black.
No. You're missing it. You're not on the list. Right now, it's Kansas City or Cleveland Browns. I'm rooting for the Browns.
Wasn't Cincinnati at one point?
They didn't have the facilities to be able to support it.
They dropped Columbus like a bad habit.
Columbus is gone. The last four are Houston, Texas, I believe. It's going to be 100 degrees. Bad idea. Colorado, come on now. They too high.
They're too busy smoking weed.
And then you've got Kansas City and Cleveland. Uh-huh. So it's either Kansas City Chiefs, Cleveland Browns. We're going for the clowns.
You better leave my team alone.
Do me a favor, Tracy. I don't want any parts to do with that committee because I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I'm like you. I'd root for the Indians, even though I'm not a big baseball fan.
Oh, I'm just a huge baseball fan.
Don't.
You got that, and then you got the Indians.
The Indians, don't get me wrong. I'm an Indian fan all the way.
Save Chief Wahoo, right? That
Absolutely.
Was my story. Did you ever talk about that, Tracy?
I'm saving Chief Wahoo and the Redskins.
Good.
But you want to talk
Wahoo.
About that. But really, we got to keep it. We got to. I'm a clown fan right now. I got to stick with the clowns.
You better leave my clowns.
Well,
I mean, my Browns alone.
You can't say clowns since you're a Browns fan.
That's how she did me. She had me say that.
It's got to be Browns. You got to go all in. Because if you say clown, they're going to know right now.
Yeah, Tracy. Then they're not going to want you to come.
Can I have a shirt on the front that says Pittsburgh and the one on the back that says
No.
Do you want to go with
the Chiefs and change their name?
I will stand down at the Central Committee and request you be removed from office.
How great would that be, though, for the city of Cleveland to be able to...
No, how great would that be for the state of Ohio?
Ohio and
yeah,
Ohio. Ohio.
Mostly the city of Cleveland.
No,
yeah.
No.
The Ohio gets enough recognition. The city of Cleveland needs more and better recognition.
No, this convention is like bringing the world to the state of Ohio. Cleveland just happens to be a host of it. But
where would it be at? Where would the convention be?
Downtown, all over downtown.
Okay.
Yeah, convention's not just...
I wasn't sure if we were talking about a facility here that we're going to have the convention at.
The convention will probably be in the Quicken Loans place.
Quicken Loans Arena?
Right.
Because you've got Quicken Loans Arena, you have Progressive Field, you have
right.
the Wolstein Center, you
right.
have, I mean, Cleveland Brown Stadium.
You have to realize you have a huge delegation from every state in the union that is going to converge on this one area, and it's going to blow over into the side areas, including probably up into Youngstown and Warren.
Right.
Yeah.
It'll just be just that big. It is huge.
Yeah.
And we're in Northeast Ohio. We think traveling from Youngstown to Cleveland is a far stretch. In Houston, Texas, that's how long people, you know,
to get from one side of Houston to
the
other.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it is.
So that
would
be neat if the Democrats
absolutely.
Could have their if Columbus could win the bid for the Democrats.
Oh my God!
No.
We don't need to do that to
awesome.
Columbus. Columbus is a Republican city, and except
Columbus?
For the little pockets of resistance they have down there.
Are you serious? Columbus,
Steven.
The city of Columbus, is not a Republican city. That city
Steven.
Is very blue.
Diva. I mean, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't mind having both conventions in the state of Ohio because I like looking at the economy of it.
Where was the convention in 2012?
It was in Tampa, Florida.
Tampa, that's where
and
I was.
And my hair was always in a muggy place. We were worried about we were worried about hurricanes. Remember, we had to delay it because of the hurricane coming in off the coast.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So all that was going on.
And the Democrats was in Charlotte, I think, right?
Yeah, I think they were in Charlotte. Yep.
You got a small airplane over there, son. What's going on?
What happened to the
she
movie?
Sounds like she needs to see somebody at Valley to get her some new equipment.
Yeah, we need to get somebody to sponsor some real laptops in here. What great business out there would like to sponsor Tracy and Friends on the laptop game here? So when we look up our stuff, we can
hit up that evil industrial war complex
yeah.
that I was talking about earlier.
Yeah,
they got all kind of money.
Steve was talking about the military industrial complex.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. So,
but I'm disappointed in back to what we're talking about sports. I'm disappointed in my Indians right now. So we might as well not.
They
lost
3-3. They went back below.
Yeah, because we went here. I was just talking to my dad about this yesterday. I say baseball is probably one of the hardest sports to play as a major league player. Tracy, listen to this. They play from what is it? Spring training starts in February,
mm-hmm.
and spring training for the tribe is down in Arizona. They have spring training from February, and then they play baseball all the way till what, October?
Well,
they play every day, but let me finish. They play every day. The tribe was just on, what, I think a 10-game road trip, and they played 4 games in Texas, no day off, went and played 2 games in Kansas City, no day off. Now they played last night in Boston, so now they're playing 4 games in Boston, then they'll go home, have Monday off, and then they'll start a 3-game against Detroit.
That's because it's not hard. It's not a hard sport.
Thank you, Alabama.
You just stand there.
I said
that's
a hard sport.
With a glove.
That's a hard sport.
And you
come
get two
AJ,
hits a game.
Now.
It's a professional sport just as like golf is, because I hear all these people talk, oh, golf is not a sport, or you don't have to be athletic. That's BS. Baseball is less wear and tear on your body versus like a basketball or
football. Well, you have a 91-mile-an-hour pitch coming at your shoulder.
Right, it depends.
It depends, but you don't see.
Every night, that's why they have
pitches
in rotation.
Yeah, who was it? The Rocket, for instance, pitched all the way up until he was in his early 40s.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see too many NFL players, they're few and far between,
yeah.
Play into their 40s or in basketball, especially basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
I just don't see how they can play every day, nine innings.
Because they're not playing them
like a picture.
They're on the bench.
No, they're not.
No.
Jason Kipnis plays second base for the Tribe. He plays every day.
Listen, these guys play.
Until he's hurt.
Okay, but there are some that play every day, but there's a lot of them that don't. They're in heavy rotation.
I'm talking about just the starters.
Okay.
Playing every single day.
Best job to have there would be a relief pitcher.
And they love what they do.
Or a pitcher. They rotate, every 4 days?
Uh-huh.
And they count how many pitches you got. Because when you're throwing that hard, it's real easy to wear your arm out. But they're athletes. And there's, they've always debated that. I think the best athlete out there is the sport that my brothers did, and my one brother was in the Olympics, is track and field. Because you could have taken, he was a decathlete. Eric would have been great in NFL. He would have been great in baseball, because he did play baseball. He was just that athlete. If you had to pick one sport and say, okay, these are interchangeable, that would be the one.
Mm-hmm. I think that when it comes to the toughness of a sport, I feel like the NFL has gone low when it comes to how tough you can be. When you play in the NFL, because they're talking about helmet safety, they're talking about having the mask on, and
that's because you've got a lot of wussy people,
right? Concussions.
No.
Concussions is a big thing.
Listen to what I'm saying. We have become a cushy kind of people. We don't want kids to get splinter, but yet we want to wear 7-inch heels as women.
Believe it or not, my parents didn't have a car seat when I was born. And there was no such thing as a car seat.
And we have become so safety oriented. We got sanitizer everywhere, so our immune system is now weakening.
Uh-huh.
We don't want our boys to get hit. From what they tell me, all the equipment that they use is more damaging than the least amount of equipment that they had, because you think that the equipment's going to save you, which means you hit harder. Instead of realizing that's a head underneath that skin.
But I don't know, Tracy. I look at it. You can have all the equipment out there. A lot of these guys that are joining these lawsuits now, they purposely didn't wear it. Like me, I played all the way till I was 21 in college. I always wore a mouthpiece. You look out there, some of these guys, they don't even have mouthpieces in.
Mm-hmm.
They would purposely take out their thigh pads and knee pads because they thought it made them more agile and faster.
Mm-hmm.
And now they'll complain
but
of injury.
If you look at the equipment, the equipment is like, it's really micro technology.
Like in high school baseball, I love baseball. I play baseball. The only one that wears a cup on our whole team is a catcher. No one else wears cups.
Why?
Infield, outfield, you don't need a cup. But infield,
Why don't you?
Outfield,
you're very rarely going
to
catch a line drive right to the groin area.
Yeah, outfielders. But the only one on the whole team that wears a cup, the pitcher doesn't even wear one.
Why?
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I'm wearing the cup.
Yeah, and it doesn't say
going up to bat. I don't wear a cup.
Yeah, but if it hits off a bounce off the ground going 120 miles an hour after it got hit at 90. I don't want to feel that like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I got to
protect. Don't save it all. It kind of distributes the pain.
Well, yeah,
but it don't eliminate it.
Hey, but the pressure point goes around stuff. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. In my brother's age group, he's 10 years. He's 11 years old. They're required to wear cups. But in high school, you are not. Only the catcher is required to wear a cup.
But what I'm saying is, when you look at the number 347-945-5210, we're almost done. But when you look at what's going on with, how we do it, we're softening up our men.
Yeah.
I mean, within sports. We don't want to avoid, football. Baseball.
We were talking about being feminine. Just
right. Baseball was a very, very high intense sport.
Mm-hmm.
My dad played. They were very, very athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And then they worked a real job in the mill and then came home and played because they weren't getting paid like they get paid today.
Yeah.
I mean, we fail to realize these guys, you're talking about, well, they work so hard. No, these guys are not working real hard. These guys are getting paid for a lovely hobby that they have, that they enjoy going to work every day.
Yeah.
Bottom line. And we fail to realize that, oh, they're come on now. Basketball players, these guys get paid very, very well.
Yeah. Basketball is another thing. I don't like basketball because I don't like the NBA. I don't like football because I don't like the NFL. I don't like professional.
Why?
I don't like the NBA just because of – I feel like basketball is not what it used to be in the NBA. I feel like it's just a dunk contest. It's a who can shoot the three-pointer farther away. It's, you know –
That's a competition to me.
There's no defense being played.
There's a lot of the older generation. My father-in-law won't watch men's basketball. He watches women's because he – likes basketball.
Right.
And if you go and watch a woman's game, whether it's high school, it's true basketball where they're doing, you know, back screens and there's actually a – I see what you're saying.
Right.
I'm not a big fan of
dunk contest.
I'm not a big fan of the NBA. I do still like March Madness and college basketball. I do enjoy
that. A lot of people are favoring college basketball now more than they're favoring the NBA.
Now, that's true. One's a show.
Right.
One's a show and one's an athletic sport.
Exactly,
a competition,
right.
Right.
And I feel like it's the same thing with the NFL.
You don't have that new generation of players, the proper guys coming in. LeBron is going to be 30. There's no new guy for the future coming in, and because Durant's kind of in his class too. So it's not a lot of guys. Everybody wants to be like N1 now. Everybody wants to be fancy. And
I think it's the same thing with the NFL where we're talking about. It's not about tackling anymore. It's about how hard can I hit you and stand over top
but
of you.
Again,
I can't go down with you. I have to be able to just push you down and then stand over top of you.
But I heard someone say this the other day. Do we realize right now it's all about it's not about the sport anymore.
It's about
all
the
about
look.
It's about the merchandise.
The merchandising.
The money.
These guys make so much money on endorsements.
Even team. It's all about the merchandise.
Michael Jordan made more money last year. Than he played. Just on.
He's a billionaire now. Yeah. He just became a billionaire last week.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's only like 8 billionaires in the world.
I think the NBA's problem, and it goes back to this. Now, I was a big supporter of it as far as you can get drafted right out of high school playing baseball. But the one and done in basketball is really hurt because you could watch Patrick Ewing for 3-4 years at Georgetown and follow him and then watch him in the NBA. So you had developed a rapport with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the NBA now, it's not a big – I mean, I watched it last night for a little bit, but I didn't watch the whole game.
I forgot it was even on.
They were getting destroyed.
You should have loved it last night. You should have loved it because that's real basketball that they're playing. They're playing cuts. They're not all about jumping up over rim, looking down in the rim. They're about making good passes, sound defense.
Yes.
Basketball.
Tim Duncan's the most underrated NBA player probably in the history of NBA.
I say that the Spurs are more of a classic team. I say the Spurs are more of that old-fashioned, the way you know the NBA used to be. I mean, you have older guys on there, Tony Parker, Tim Duncan, and then who's the other guy?
Ginobili.
Yeah, Ginobili.
Well, they built it versus go out and like the Heat did and go out and take somebody else's
manufacturing it.
they brought LeBron in from the Cavs. They brought what's his name, the tall guy from the Toronto Raptors, Chris Bosh from the Raptors. You know,
that's another thing is I don't like the stackedness that they have now.
But baseball's the same.
No, it's not.
Why is it not?
Baseball's biggest problem is they don't have a salary cap. So high market teams like that, you know, Chicago's so big they can support two teams, the Cubs and the White Sox, and they're both sold out.
Yeah.
L.A. New York, same way. But, you know, a small market team can compete in the NFL. They can't compete in baseball.
Yeah.
Like the Pirates. You know, Pirates are a small market team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they're good. Well, I mean, they haven't been good yet this year. They got some good players.
They got some good players. But they can't compete with the Yankees where they can just go out and buy everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, once again, like if you're watching this playoff game, you're seeing them play because they didn't call a whole lot of stuff in these last two games. These guys been going at it like gladiators for real. Mm-hmm. And so I think you got a street game going on trying to win the championship.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I want LeBron to win, but I don't think they're going to.
Why do you want him to win?
Because I'm a LeBron fan, man.
I'm an Ohio guy.
Why, though? Why are you a LeBron fan?
Because LeBron made his decision for him instead of making it for others.
Yeah.
He made a business decision,
yeah.
And he's living the dream
because of it. Business decision. I'm not talking about the decision. I'm talking about the fact that this guy has certain tangibles, height, size, strength, and speed. I agree with you. But when it comes to intangibles, he lacks. That's why they're losing now. He's always been like
well,
that.
I mean,
Dwayne Wade had those tangibles. That's why they won the other two.
Okay,
that's why
that
I'm getting excited he's playing. Because
I'm
he's
not,
inconsistent. You get excited game one, game two, or what? I mean, is he playing at all? I can't even watch the finals anymore.
Well, it doesn't matter
like,
to me
I
whether
think
he's playing
good for
or
the game
he
loses.
He whether he chooses to pass and let his boys make the points or not, because he's not Michael Jordan. But he has to be
well,
Michael
if you go,
Jordan.
Well, don't run down the court tearing Michael Jordan down like you got it, like you're coming for Michael Jordan.
Can I say this? I didn't.
Guys, one at a time. You guys just won't. Yeah. Back up. What did you say, Alabama?
He came down against Charlotte. You go on YouTube. He got a steal, ran down the court, and how dare him stare at Michael Jordan sitting on the sideline. And he went up and stared at Michael Jordan and dunked the ball. And everybody was, oh, man, he coming for Michael Jordan. He coming.
Yeah. I like that.
I was like, oh, okay, you coming for Jordan, huh?
I like that.
Listen, I'm going to end the week at the end of the day. God bless. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Be careful out there. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the sun. It's going to be really, really nice this weekend. Larry, thanks for stopping in. AJ, good to see you. See you next Friday. Jeff,
yep.
I'll see you on Monday. You've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. 8571, who are you?
Oh, please cut off the mics. The people got background noise.
So y'all can't watch now because I ain't winning, huh?
I can't. No, you know what? I just don't like how inconsistent he is.
Yeah,
all this hype about him.
He's inconsistent because he doesn't have the intangibles. Period.
They're getting their butts whooped. I mean, they ain't just losing. They're getting their butts whooped.
I mean, the Heat fans, LeBron fans are silent on my Facebook timeline. Before the finals started, oh, you couldn't get enough of it. Now I don't hear nothing. It's crickets.
Crickets. That's right. That's right. I mean, my thing with LeBron invites the attention to be compared to Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, he does.
And when people come at him, man, people just own me so hard. Like, dude, you went after Michael Jordan, like the most identifiable athlete in the last 30 years. You can't do that. And then you expect people just to sit back when you walk off the court, taking your jersey off, you won 65 games, had the best record in the league 2-3 years straight, couldn't get it done. Then you go down there with a guy that already can get it done, win the ring, start winning, and then when he starts getting a little older and injury prone, now you can't get it done. Now we see who you really are, because that's really who he is. People just don't realize it. He's being passed behind, getting all these other talent behind him, but he's not going to get it done when it counts. But I still will say he's a top 10 greatest player already. But I'm not going to put him past Kobe. I don't care. If he get Carmelo Anthony on his team, that's like AAU, man. Come on, man. That's not even fair. But that's him, though. And he's still going to get all the credit. LeBron, King James, the greatest. Like, you got Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade. You might as well go get James Harden for the point guard. That's what I don't get.
I'm like, people giving him all the accolades, but can he really carry a team by himself to where he can win a championship?
That's what I'm sick
like
of.
Jordan
all
Kobe
these young kids. I'm sick of all these young kids acting like LeBron the best thing since power steering when y'all weren't even alive when Michael Jordan was on the court. But, man, stall me out with that.
Well, see, with Michael Jordan, what they fail to realize, they'll say Scottie Pippen. But the problem with it, Scottie Pippen never averaged over 20 points. He only averaged 19 at his best year. He was around 18, 19 points a game. Jordan averaged carried 29 on the latter years. He was averaging 29. Michael Jordan, it's a difference. Jordan has never got beat complete.
Like Jordan had the heart. Like you really see it. Sometimes you watch LeBron, especially during the finals, you'd be like, man, do you really want it? What's going on?
They'll have a, you know what they'll say? Well, John Paxson hit a three. And I'm like, yeah, that's game seven. Jordan had three. Out of that seven-game series, three of those games, Jordan had 35, 36, 40. And then one game he's struggling, but he still had 32. And he was the one passing the ball, setting everybody up to win. That's how he went out. And when the man went out against Utah when he did that move on Byron Russell. Man, look, that man is immortal. Like, you can't touch him. You just can't touch him. I can't see nobody touching him right now.
Not to mention all the buzzer beaters.
This is the third time LeBron is the third time he might be finna lose in the finals. If LeBron goes and stays in the league for 15, 20 years and wins seven rings, I still wouldn't put him past Michael Jordan. Just like Kobe. Kobe has played 20 years. I love Kobe. I don't even say, look, there are times where I say Kobe's a better shooter than Jordan. Kobe's that close to Michael Jordan. But look at what he did. Right. Look at the degree of difficulty, the skill it took to do what Kobe did. LeBron is just a locomotive, strong, fast. That's all people talk about, size, strength, not skill, not, oh, man, that shot was tough. That was a tough shot he hit. That took skill. That took Kobe. If you put Kobe Bryant in LeBron James' body, and you have somebody, man, he'd be walking on water. Because Kobe was that good.
If you put Jeff Green in Rush Limbaugh's body. Never mind.
What do you get, Brown?
I don't know. You fill in the blanks.
A class one. I'll leave it at that. Someone with a much bigger ego than what Jeff already got.
Oh, God. Jeff's a sad case. Jeff has a hard time. Jeff just says almost anything. It's the progressives. It's the reason. When he started talking about how come the cops punished that man or arrested that man because he was disciplining his child by having his child carry rocks, and he blamed it on the progressives. You know, I don't know how he connects the dots.
He does it, though. He connects them in his own mind. He connects them in his mind.
I don't miss him at all. I don't miss him at all.
Really?
Not at all. No, he's annoying. In fact, most of the people that call in on the show, a lot of the people that call in are pretty annoying. And maybe they think I'm annoying, but at least I try to have some facts behind some of the things that I say. And I don't draw these erroneous conclusions. But it is what it is.
Wow, you got the room quiet on that.
I know. They're recording me and reporting me to the NSA and to Jeff. Or whatever they do. Whatever they do. Has Mike Allfax been calling in?
Who?
Allfax, Mike Allfax.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't think so because I think he said he'll call back in when he knows that he can get them stirred up.
Oh. Well. Maybe his schedule has changed. At any rate, everybody have a nice weekend.
You do the same.
It's going to be hot up here.
Where are you at again?
I'm up in, right now I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Oh, okay.
But I'm in between here and Los Angeles.
So what do you think about Cantor losing?
You know, people are, you know, I don't know exactly why he lost. They'd say it was the immigration issue, but, you know, people are, they're vulnerable. People are unhappy with Congress. You know, if you lose touch of your constituency, you know, they'll vote you out. More incumbents should lose.
Do you think we should have term limits for Congress?
No, you know, well, not they go up for election every 2 years. I think that's a referendum enough for the people that if they're unhappy with the representative, they can get together and vote them out. It's just hard to do because they have the money. They have the money chest, they have the war chest, and they have name recognition. But you'll probably see a lot more incumbents lose their seats. People are disgusted with Congress. What's the approval ratings of Congress? 19%? Something really ridiculous.
I think it's much lower than that.
All right, it's real low. I know it's a real low figure.
I think they're in single digits. But so with the state of Congress now, the reason, I mean, to me, this is how it seems. It seems that they can't get anything done because you have two, because of ideology. You have the ideology on the right, the ideology on the left. They can't seem to come together to compromise. From what I've seen of the Tea Party, they are the biggest reason why Congress cannot get together and compromise. You've got congressmen in very red districts who come back and said, I cannot be seen to support anything the president wants to do. I cannot be seen to work with the president. I'm worried about getting reelected. So with that being said, do you think him being ousted for a Tea Party person is good for Congress?
You know, it's actually he's the majority leader, but at the end of the day, it's one seat out of 435, and I don't know how really significant that is. It's one seat out of 435. You know, I guess he's high profile. He's the majority leader, but I think he actually has three factions in Congress now. You have the Democrats, you have the Republicans, and then you've got the Tea Partiers, and they seem to be at war with the status quo Republicans, the old guard Republicans, than they are the Democrats. And I don't even know if it's a real ideology thing, because I don't think any of them have any real principles. And I've said this before: they go with the wind, or generally they're probably really just following the money. And I guess they stick together a lot of the times on a party line, but you're right, they don't get anything done. So, and I don't know if that'll change, but maybe it'll change.
I don't voting in more Tea Party members, I don't see it changing. I see it getting worse.
Maybe you're right, because they're pretty staunch. I don't necessarily like the Tea Party, but I don't disagree with everything that they're about.
I don't disagree with everything they're about. I disagree with how they're going about doing it.
You know what? I'll give them credit for one thing. They stand on their principles. Whether I agree with them or not, they seem to stand on their principles.
Yeah, but Congress is not about you just standing on your principles. It's about the good of America. You cannot really sit and say, well, because this is how we want it in our district, then this is how it's going to be for the rest of America. That's not what the Founding Fathers intended. The Founding Fathers intended for there to be a checks and balance system and for it to be a bicameral legislative process for a reason. Checks and balances does not mean you obstruct just because you're in a minority. I mean, I have to agree with President Obama when he said elections have consequences. I won. Therefore, my agenda basically usurps your agenda. Now, you don't have to take everything I like, but let's take the good and work on that. They don't even want to work on basic things that they can agree on.
But they weren't, you know, you're right. They've been obstructionists ever since he got elected. That is true. And it is also true that, you know, people complain about the Affordable Care Act, but actually the election of 2012 was a referendum on the Affordable Care Act, and his presidency, and he was reelected. People don't seem to recognize that. And that is, you're right. He was reelected, and the Affordable Care Act was one of the major issues. So the people did vote on that. They did vote on that. So you know what you're saying makes sense. What you're saying basically is right. I don't necessarily approve of the administration. They've told us, you know, I don't know how it's that much different than the Bush administration when you look at it. I'm unhappy that
the only thing that I would say that is very different than the Bush administration is his foreign policy. Because I think with Bush and the neocons, we would have been fighting several different wars, boots on the ground, if all these wars, so-called wars, would have been popping up when Bush was in office. I think we would have spread our military very thinly when it came to troops across the Middle East and trying to fight these wars.
The Bush family, for over a century, has been heavily involved in the armaments business, in the war business. They are heavily vested in armaments and wars. If you look at their investments in the Carlyle Group, and also in banking and the oil business, and those wars have benefited all of those industries immensely. When Bush number one was in, he got into war right away. When he sent 500,000 troops over there to liberate Kuwait from Iraq. So you know, it's part of what they do. Obama's been a disappointment. He's been a real disappointment, and you know the. When it was revealed how the NSA, how they're spying on us and the fancy ways they're doing it, and for him to shrug his shoulders like he didn't know.
That was very disappointing. The fact that you keep saying, I didn't know.
He claims not to know a lot of things, and, you know, he claims not to know a lot of things, and you know, either you have control and you know what's going on, or you don't have control, and your administration, your underlings are acting on their own accord, and that's probably not the case. And there may be things that he wasn't aware of, but you know, that's his job as the chief executive, to be aware. And believe me, he knew about all of the NSA stuff, and you know, I really don't think.
Oh yeah, I don't believe that he didn't know about the NSA stuff. This is stuff that now the IRS stuff, what they were doing. I can say okay, he may not have known about that, but the NSA.
He probably didn't know about that. Benghazi, yeah, they lied, but all administration lies and put spin on things. You know,
I wouldn't say it was a lie. I would say they would put a spin on it, but you, for reasons, sometimes the government does stuff that we will never know, and that to me, the talking points weren't. I don't know. They don't make me mad when somebody's putting spin on something. That's what I understand about politics and politicians. They spin. That's what they do. So I'm not going to get all bent out of shape because
spins
they're
like
spinning. I hate he signed this Monsanto Act.
That's
TPP, that I just don't understand that. I'm like,
well,
he criticized.
Because he's a corporate.
He criticized Clinton on NAFTA, and then you go and bring about your own NAFTA that's even worse.
Yeah, well, you know, he's corporate controlled. As much as we like to think that he isn't, he's corporate controlled like the rest. That's how you get elected. So I guess you've got to play ball.
All you have to do is just look at Wall Street. I mean, they're not too far from 17,000 if it's gotten that high already.
I don't know. I didn't check this morning yet, but no. I mean, they pump huge monies into his campaign, and he's, you know, you're beholden to them. It is what it is. The money still really controls everything. So his populist, you know, appeal in 2008 when he was running was, you know, it's a farce. It really was a farce, and that's disappointing.
I don't think it was a farce. I think he, at the time, he really meant what he said. I think he went into the presidency naively, thinking that he really can effect change because of his relationships in the Senate. And
yeah,
I really believe that.
I guess we'll never know. I guess we'll never know what was really in his heart. And
all you have to do is read his books.
I read one of them. I read the one about
The Audacity of Hope lets you know what hope and change was all about. Because, I mean, when it was basically about, okay, you have a good idea, I have a good idea. Let's work on those good ideas and let's build on that. And I think because he had good relationships on both sides of the aisle in Congress, he could transfer that into the White House. I really do think he really believed that. But like life goes, you're in until you're out. And now you're the head guy in charge, and now we can no longer be friends. Now you are my enemy because now you are in a different position. You are in a position that's going to be in competition with me.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good question. What was really in his heart? And I don't know. I just have problems.
I think Bush went into the presidency with good intentions. I really do believe that. I don't think he set out for a lot of stuff to happen.
I believe him and his administration are evil to their core.
I think Cheney is evil to his core.
And he picked Cheney to be his vice president.
I think he was forced into picking Cheney. Because it didn't seem like there was a lot of love between those.
Let me catch this line. This is my niece. Nice talk with you. Have a very nice weekend.
Okay. Okay, somebody is there. I hear somebody's TV going.